Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun go's based on the data you have for an LOS. I see we got it back. Give me another few seconds.
We're going, fine.
Okay, retro, go. Final, go. Guide,
go.
Control, go. Telcom, go. Ginsey,
go.
Ecom, go. Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
From the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it sounds like we're having a little audio trouble here. I may have to kick things off. Every so often we get a show that does one of these. So I'll tell you what, guys, I am going to go ahead and take a moment and break the connection and then come back in. And we will be back just momentarily. I'm just going to run our station identification for a minute, and we will be back. Just a second, guys. You are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, that sounds a long bit. A bad connection there with Skype. Hey, everybody. And I'm going to go ahead and bring Renee on and bring her microphone back.
Out here in the Sierras, and my good friend, my case manager, Renee Martin, is on the line. We were going to have Spencer Hughes on, but Spence, being the family man that he is, and that's a good thing, spent Father's Day driving home from Oregon, and I suspect my good friend is probably just not in a place to do a good interview right after he just gets home from a major trip that he's been gone for, you know, a week or so. And we will have him on again here real soon. So I'm thinking about trying to get a special show put together as soon as he's rested up a bit. Maybe he can talk about his special investigations he did in our name out in the great state of Washington. And also, I believe, in southern Canada he might have been in. So we'll learn more about his investigation. But Renee, you're with us.
I am. Hello, everyone. Hello, John.
Yeah, good to be here again. Have you here with us, you know, and co-hosting here tonight and being part of this. And Renee is our case manager for GRI. So what I thought we would do would be, in lieu of having the whole gang together, we'd just continue on. And we'd also would be talking about the Grand Tour that is coming up for GRI. And I'm kind of hearing some strange noises out there. But anyway, we are going to be doing some a pretty big trip, and we've decided that it's going to be an annual thing for us. So we're going to be doing grand paranormal tours on a yearly basis. I can't speak today. So we've got. I've just mailed out and am working with our team, and I'm looking for the particular page here in question. I had it all up and running, and then I had to redial. Here we go. We're looking at Virginia City out at the Silver Queen Hotel, Rachel, Nevada, the extraterrestrial highway. We're going to go and actually do some paranormal investigations at the Little Ailey Inn. Oh, yeah. Death Valley Junction, the Armagosa Opera House is on the itinerary. Las Vegas, Nevada. We don't know a haunted place in Las Vegas proper, but my good friend Murray Moots, out of the blue, called me today. And it was just very fortuitous. So Maury and I are conspiring for a good place to out and do some hunting out that way. And she may meet us also at Goldfield. So we may see her. She may actually accompany us for part of the trip and just on the way back to Vegas. And then we'll leave her from there. We're going to be going to Sedona, Arizona. Looking into, testing some of the claims of the energy levels in, like, Boynton Canyon and some of these other places that are reputedly full of ghosts and haunted canyons. So we're going to check that out. Greer, Arizona, the famous episode I'm trying to remember the name of the series, but it's got all these Hollywood people who've had paranormal experiences. There's a haunted lodge with a ghost named Zeke. And it turns out it's called the Peak Saz Lodge, and it's in Greer, Arizona. And evidently there's an entity that actually appears in pretty much most of the rooms every night. I'm looking at that as a it's a bit off the beaten track. We definitely have to go almost all the way to New Mexico to get to that. So we're hitting that. And then Tombstone. What would it be to go to Arizona without hitting Tombstone and checking out Tombstone?
Right.
And then, finally, our southernmost case on this whole grand tour will be Bisbee, Arizona. And I'm looking really carefully at the Copper Queen Hotel. So have you been to any of these places?
No, I haven't been to any of those places. I mean, I've been to Arizona, but just for work. Never got to really look around. So the only place I've been outside of Arizona, I can't think of the main place, the main city, but Sholo is the only part I've been to, so no, haven't been to any of those, but I've heard of them. The last one you said, what was it, Bisbee, I think?
Bisbee.
Yeah, I've heard about the activity there. Tombstone, of course, you know, gosh, like you're right, can't go there without stopping at Tombstone, and Sedona, of course, and I'm really excited about Sedona. Really drawn to Sedona.
Yeah, and then we finalized the whole tour with some haunted spots in and around Phoenix, Arizona. And I've been there once. I've been to Phoenix once. That was back in 1993, last time I was in Phoenix. I'm looking forward to going back and actually doing some hunting there, both Karen and Elizabeth are in that general region, so we'll be seeing them both. And, it's going to be great. So I'm just itching to do this, and getting the hotels all lined up, getting the budget figured out for what's going to how we're going to work this all out. And I'm about to sneeze here. Sorry, it's been terrible today up here with the pollen. Oh my God! And I hate it when you're going to get a sneeze and you can't. You think about it and you just.
It'll happen. It'll happen when you least expect it. It was it was really windy the last couple of days. So maybe it's just changing things up. Plus, you're working out there too. So.
Yeah, we made a lot of accomplishment here. And I'm feeling I'm actually able to do a lot more. I've been getting out and working every day, and it's building up the but my back seems to be a lot better. I was able to mow the upper orchard and start getting wood pulled into burn piles from all, and we're still cleaning up the damage from that storm in December. But so everybody, look, we got burn piles for the fall, but we are we're on a roll now, and I've got the two of the sheds cleared and cleaned up, and the well house is up and running in proper order. We're going to be hitting the garage and then just de-junking the place. So it's going to be lots of dump trips. So I'm going to be in pretty good shape by the time we go to do this trip in September. I'll be looking rather studly, you know? It's like.
That's good, though. It's really good. That's awesome.
Well, now you and I did a case here, though. We'll return back to this trip, but you and I did something pretty interesting the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Renee and I were invited to Spencer's house to babysit his house for the evening, and we decided to investigate it because there has been activity in that house. I've investigated there many, many times in the past, and there are entities there, and it's very interesting. Town that he's in there is has had a lot of old Indian burial grounds and hunting areas and places where people lived and all that all through the region he's in. So we did a fairly good setup there. I mean, we finished our case planning for the year. Her and I worked a couple hours on that and just sat around talking and. Then got serious and went to work, and basically most of the activity seemed to be the upper floor. I mean,
yeah, it was very, very active on the upper floor. A little had a couple times down at the bottom, but other than that, it was very intense, especially in one room and the girls' room, and it was a feeling that, you know, I have not felt it that strong before, and it was very overwhelming for me. And I usually don't, you know, get those sensations like that. And I'm talking about. So it was really very intense, and got a lot of really good EVPs up there. And, you know, I lived 3 miles from where he lived about 3 years ago. And that's where I had some activity in my own home for that whole area, and I did some research on that area trying to figure it out. And there's a lot of history there. We can talk about that later if you want. But
do a synopsis of what you learned about that particular area. You know, let's go ahead and just keep
that. Okay, that particular area is notorious for the granite that lays underneath. Matter of fact, it took the land developers a very long time, not only just to get the permits to develop the land, because a lot of it was owned by Maidu. And there's a casino that sits just across the highway from where he is. So anyway, after he got permits, prior to that, I'll go back a little farther. It was a mine. They mined there. They mined granite there. Actually, there's three big mines there, and one of the bigger mines actually, they would train, put the granite pieces on trains and ship it to Europe. The capital, Sacramento capital, has all of granite from Rockland area, from the Rockland area. So it's really got a lot of, you know, it's got some history there, and there's, you know, there were a lot of deaths. There are some Native American, I found two Native American burial grounds that are unmarked. I had to go into the library and happened to stumble upon an old map in that room and found it that way, or I wouldn't have not even known about it. So the granite, of course, is, you know, natural conductor, and it's, you know, plus the Indian, the fact that the Indians, you know, there's a lot of Maidu Indians all over that area, I think has some factor in, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because some of the things that have been going on, too, seem to be more contemporary entities, too, because the reports that have been going on have been everything from men usually dressed in like jeans, work boots, and workman's shirts. You know, they're just the kind of the standard blue workman's shirt. No cowboy hats. Just seems like they're just standard. You know, it could be from any point in time. These guys are showing up, and it's been interesting because we've had a female entity that we picked up last year, where I had another investigator who had her hair pulled, and when we ran the EVPs, she was actually being threatened. We had threatened to kill her, and so we knew this thing kind of meant business. And then when I actually spent the night in the room that you had the trouble with in question. I stayed over there. You know, we went out on another case, and he said, just stay overnight. And I said, great. And he said, grab that room. And I said, okay. And I didn't like the feeling I had in there, but I thought, no big deal. And I woke up in the morning, and I had four long scratches on my left arm, you know, from the shoulder down, my arm about 4 inches. And I didn't even realize I'd been scratched until I jumped in the shower, and then I felt the burning of the water and looked, and I was just surprised because it looked like somebody had just taken all four fingers, you know. And so that's when I knew that whatever was up there was pretty territorial, and we've done repeated investigations up there in that second floor area and had amazing K2 sessions where we get repeated responses back where we'll ask questions and we get one and two flash responses on the K2s. And we've documented that on video repeatedly. And again, we did it again, you and me. This time, so it's Spencer, it was you and me, and we were getting responses in both rooms that we did the work in. But the bathroom area that we usually get the most activity didn't happen this time. It was the bedroom, and so
You know what's interesting is that when I went back and did the analysis, even though we felt the most energy, the most shifted energy there and got the most K2 hits in that room. In the bathrooms where I got most of the EVPs that I sent you today. So I find that kind of interesting because it was, that you were feeling, actually experienced it in one room and then not so much the other room, but I got a lot of EVPs in there. So that's kind of interesting. But
yeah.
That room, you're right, whatever is there is very territorial. I mean, all I could do is just keep repeating, I'm sending you love and light, love and light, love and light, you know. And, it sounds really kind of cliche, but it's like the energy was so, so intense, I had to step out. My body was vibrating, and I felt so sick in my stomach, which normally I'm pretty grounded, and I make sure I'm grounded before I go on to meditation. And I'm just, was like, okay, I'm just going to step out, you know. So something is in there that's just not very friendly, you know. So
it
worries me a little bit for them, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's been our take with it, too, even before. So I was really glad to get the place to ourselves and have, me having been in there before. But, you know, I just take a real standoff kind of response and just let things happen and see what's going on. And we've been hunting this over time, but to get a fresh investigator and somebody who's never really been in there to do work and to have the same kinds of experiences, it's just something else. And what was surprising to me this time, usually I don't have a negative bodily response there, but when it was you and me in there, matter of fact, I mean, when we first got there, you and I were there almost at the same time. I opened up the place, got in. And you went back and went out to the store to get some stuff, and I was sitting in there, and I could feel somebody watching me, and I started calling out to them, and I just said, look, we're here, you know me, I've been here with Spencer many times, and here's the deal, and I identified myself. And then you and me later on went through the full evening, and we were both hearing noises, and we kept hearing the talking, the talking upstairs all through the night. But we concluded the primary investigation, you know, getting towards midnight, and I came down, and I was barely holding on to, you know, staying awake. I just was completely drained. Yeah, I mean, you were commenting. He was like, "You're gone, John." And I'm like, "Oh yeah." It was only when we went out, fed the tortoise out there, and I got out in that cold air, kind of got me back awake for a while, and we were able to, you know, kind of, you know, make some conclusions about what was going on. And then when you and I went back and sat in the living room, you know, all that talking started. We were hearing a woman, and I think it was a woman, right? Yeah, we were hearing a woman's voice like talking up there.
Yeah, you know. And I didn't, it would have taken forever, but I didn't tell you this part, though. The drop recorder that I left up there when we came back downstairs, there's all kinds of conversation. I mean, you can barely hear it, but you can hear it. Conversation, you can hear things being dropped right next to it, like someone tapping their pin onto a piece of, like, a tablet. There's a lot more activity that I haven't told you about yet. You know, I was going to tell you tonight, but.
God.
Yeah, and the conversation, you can hear it. You can totally hear the conversation. It sounds like two people whispering, a male, and there's also a female. And it's obvious, you know. I'll send you it's 4.5 hours, I think 5 hours long, but so it's kind of long, you know, for a, a little.
Well, we'll have to tear into that. I mean, it's that's the same kind of thing we ran into on the 67th Street case. We did a case in October of last year where I accidentally forgot and left one of our recorders running, and it was a Sony ICDP-620 recorder, which has a battery life. The theoretical battery life on that recorder is 5.5 hours running at full tilt. For whatever reason, in the room that we left it in, it ran 11 hours and before it finally died out. And
that's right.
We got 400 EVPs in that evening. And we were, and it was in a room that we think is a portal. We were getting, basically called out. You know, they said, "You ghost hunters aren't going to get rid of us." And that was actually said. There was threats, there was sexually explicit conversation, there was, you name it was on there. Stuff that sounded like old miners talking about a claim came through.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like somebody had the, a time portal open.
And you got some Asian too,
We had actual Mandarin being spoken. It was just crazy. And I felt like that what that place was on top of was actually probably part of an old graveyard, you know, that the neighborhood was built onto, and quite likely there's something in the geology that's making that, you know, work too. But remember that dog, you know, that ran into the screen door?
Yeah, got really spooked. Yeah, I remember that. Scared crap out of me. I was inside when
you
did that.
Yeah, this was like this was one of those dogs that's got the incredibly powerful jaws. I'm trying to think of the name.
Pitbull.
This was a pit bull.
Yeah.
And this pit bull was running like a scared little baby, and ran square into the back screen door that had been open, and the glass door part was open all the way, and this dog tried to run through it, trying to get away from something back there. And we did get just a huge amount of evidence out of that place, and we feel it's a portal. But this sounds similar, you know, the fact that I haven't had a drop recorder in for that long, you know, before, where, you know, in that particular location with Spence's place. So we're going to have to look into this a little deeper. See, you know. It's just I have a feeling it's not the only house in that area having the problem, given that you've seen things before in the general vicinity. So.
Yeah, and I think one of the EVPs will even reveal that. I asked that specific question I think you were going to play tonight, so, and it answers it, and that's one of my questions that I sent to you. So if you don't have that one, we can talk about that later too, but I believe that that's one of the ones.
I've got the Are You a Friend? I've got Before House Built. I think that's the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
the light and shower, and then would you like us to leave? So which one do you want? You want to do the four house built one?
That's the one that actually answers the question.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and just I'll cut my mic down, and then we'll just play this several times at 100%. Here we go.
Are you an energy that was here from before the house was built? Are you an energy that was here from before the house was built?
I'm going to take it up to 150%, and my screen just refreshed too, so give me a second here, guys. There it is. I'm going to take it up to 150. You can hear a distortion, and that is not us, because I was there and you were there, and we both know we didn't hear that happening. So
right.
Here we go, 150.
Are you an energy that was here from before the house was built?
And boy, you can hear that. So I'm going to take it up to
200.
You can hear a voice responding. And let me take it to 200. Here we go.
Are you an energy that was here from before the house was built?
Man, that sounds like a male.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And when I was going over it too, it was faint, but I was able to hear it, you know, even without increasing anything. So it was, you know, it's pretty obvious that you got a direct response to the question.
Yeah, that bathroom seems to have a lot of stuff to it. And what's funny is it seems to parallel the main power routing for the house. Because just below
I noticed that too.
Yeah, below that, all the power feeds for the house come in through there, and then there's a lot of RF energy that comes in through the, out of the kitchen, because all the devices in the kitchen seem to emit quite a lot of RF. And so I think that's part of the power source that these things are living off of. And they found a happy new home in these subdivisions out there. And that's what I think is going on with this. It's a great
Yeah, and I think in addition to that, too, this is just my personal opinion, but I think in addition to that, that there's a lot of people in the house, and I think that there's that attraction as well.
There's more to it than that, but I won't go into it on air because some of the,
right.
you know, we've got some things to figure out with that, but
right.
probably the best I could say is this is not the... This may have relations to other areas, and so we're just trying to understand it. It's been a long-term thing to get a feel for the people that are involved, the entities that we're dealing with, and the phenomena that are occurring. And we're getting, we've had, pretty much the full gamut. I mean, you know, literally attacks, scratches, people feeling cold spots, entities showing themselves, the works, and I'm going to be getting with Spence, and we'll find out where we're going to go with this, and go further. But I won't reveal too much, other than just to say, wow, it's just an amazing case. Let's do the light and shower one, because this one I really was there was actually more talking on this one.
This one was kind of different. I was like, wow, okay, yeah, okay. I'm interested to see how you can. Tune it up a little bit.
Okay, I'm taking it to 150%, so here we go. I'll start off with that.
Can you make the light in the shower go off a little? Can you do that for me?
Okay, so... oh, go ahead.
Yeah, what do you think he's saying?
Well, I'm not even sure, but doesn't it sound like there's someone with boots walking around? I think at the end of the clip, it sounds like someone's walking, and it almost sounds like, I don't know. To be honest, I couldn't really tell what they were saying, but at the end, I just felt it sounded like someone walking in the bathroom. You and I were just standing there, so I know it wasn't us.
Well, let me try it at 200%.
Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
Can you make the light in the shower go off a little? Can you do that for me?
that was, I heard more there. You could hear it speaking. We're going to, basically, what I'll take that is, I'll take the clips you sent me and boost those up a little bit with my software and see what I can do with this, because it sounds like the same voice as the first one. And you can just, it's on the edge of being clear, you know, because you can see that there's words being formed.
Right. Yep. I agree.
Yeah. What's your sense, male or female?
Male, definitely. It just feels feels male to me. But it was hard for me to. I noticed that when I enhanced it on my software, you can't really see. You know how when you're looking at it with the voice where it kind of spikes up and down. And you can tell when I enhanced it, you could really tell that there was something there, but you really couldn't tell that before. So I just couldn't get to a point where I could hear what they were saying. But I thought it was interesting to hear someone walking on the EVP right there. So I'm not sure, but.
I'll have to. Did you, and I, because I pulled the video over to you too, I gave you the Creative Auto AVI on that, and I'm wondering if we got anything on the AVI too.
Oh.
Yeah. you can get EVP on video also, and I have done it with my one of my Sonys.
Did you have a plane while we were in there?
Yeah, I was taping the interactions that were going on so I could catch the K2 activity that we did get some. So I was shooting to see what we were getting. So it would be a good idea to see if we can pull some of that down. And I'll take I'll take a listen to it this week too. I just want to see if I can pull anything out of that. But you know, we got some of the video, and we'll load that up on the GRI channel. Now that you've got a bunch of the videos, which I hope you can play on your other computers. So.
Yeah, I know. I'll figure that out.
We had fun. Renee's doing a great job. She's figuring out where things are at and how I've done things, and we're kind of stumbling along, getting our method in place. So that and she's helping me out quite a bit, and taking on the some of the case organization and things like that. So she's going to be a huge force in our media outlet and that kind of thing, where we're putting videos out and on the GRI channel from cases that we're doing. And so you'll see my ugly mug out there and driving in the Mustang with somebody shooting me as we go out to put the cases and all that. But it's going to be we're doing great. I'm just so happy to see things finally moving with, you know, basically everybody pulling together in the team. And this is just going to be a great year.
Let me see that. Sorry about that.
What's that?
I go to the show page and it starts playing during the show.
No, that
yeah, no, I'm excited. We got some real exciting things and ahead of us. Really exciting. So yeah, it's gonna be great.
Yeah. Matter of fact, you know, we've got a fairly significant mission coming up in July 30th. We're going to be going out to Bodie, California.
Yeah.
And Bodie is one of the finest examples of a true Western ghost town there is. It's absolutely in pristine condition. The people that lived there literally picked up one day when the money had run out and there was nothing to sustain the town. And rather than pack everything up, they just took what little things they wanted to keep and left. And so there's entire stores furnished with goods that just are out there. And there's things, you know, all over the place. And, you know, you go into buildings that there's caskets in one of the funeral parlor. There's the caskets for children and adults and all the accoutrements there. And then you go in and you look and there's gambling halls where the chips are left where they were right at where they were playing, right on the, you know, so the game never ended. It's just astonishing. And the EVPs we got there were just astounding. You know, we caught singing in the church, got one ghost's complaint, you know, claiming we were teasing them. you know, very clear Class A stuff. I mean, absolutely clear, no enhancement, and they're telling us things. And one female comes on near the church and says, "Let's snow them." You know, and, let's snow them, you know. So I'm looking forward to that case, because if we can get you know, four or five people to get out with us on that, and maybe even, I don't know, if somebody wants to caravan out with us and be part of it, you know, I'm open to that. That would actually be kind of cool. But it's a great day investigation, and there's plenty of room to spread out. And the only thing I'll recommend that I've learned from that particular site is put a microphone windscreen on your EVP recorder before you go out there. The wind is absolutely hellacious out there, and it makes EVP analysis really tough. So definitely come up with some foam, like a foam attachment that you can put on your recorder, because you'll be thanking me later. Trust me.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Do a little windsock or something for it. Good idea.
Yeah, there's even an intact jail there, and we had one of the investigators with us had a temperature probe, and we put it in there, and the temperature was significantly lower than it should have been inside of there, and we were kind of not sure what to make of it, if it was some, you know, physical effect, you know, from the inside, maybe that was the way it was. But consensus was it's inconclusive. Is it a haunt, or is, you know, what do we got? And we did get EVPs from that particular building. So everywhere you go through there, it's just this sense of being watched. And the big thing with that town too is, if you take something, those spirits will haunt your rear end until you take it back. I mean, they are really territorial. So we even made sure we didn't take any pebbles on our shoes. We wanted to leave it exactly as we found it. We just took pictures and left, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that too. To be very careful not to bring anything back with you. Yeah, there's a lot of hitchhikers, spirit hitchhikers. Yeah.
I think you're going to find this to be a pretty amazing experience. Outdoor investigation is our forte. This is what we do as GRI for the most part. So you have to operate a little bit differently. People are literally on their own a lot more than when you have a tightly focused internal investigation like what we've done with Stockton. And, you know, we're definitely earning our chops on that kind of thing. But outdoor investigation is a different thing. You know, you just basically, you know, form your teams and say, okay, you know, you go out that way, do the best you can. You know, if you need us, get on the horn, call us, and we'll be out there. And then occasionally we just get together, pull everybody in, compare notes, see what we got. You know, if we've got an intuitive with us, you know, and of course, you know, you are and me, then we just trust our instincts and, you know, head over to places that we feel might be active. Talk with the people there who really know the place and can kind of tell you where to go. So it really is a much more physical experience when you do outdoor work, especially on a large site. You know, we do an awful lot of cemeteries, sites that are, you know, literally crumbling, you know, or have crumbled down to nothing, and all that's left is the impressions, you know, on the ground, and you still get pretty valid activity there. I mean, there's you'll pick up sounds from the past, you know, residuals, things like that. So this case is going to be a big one for us. I just can't wait for the end of July to come up and we can go out there and do this.
You know, yeah, me too. Yeah. There's a lot of things about
it. Now, you've never been out that way, huh?
No, I came close. I almost went about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, but wasn't able to make it out there. So, but I've heard all about it, you know, through other sources.
Yeah.
Talking to other people that have been out there, you included. So it sounds like a real interesting place, and it definitely sounds like a place to be cautious. You know, don't got to go in there and just, you know, be respectful, be cautious. And I've heard a lot of stories directly from people that have experienced the aftermath from taking things, even as like someone took a, there's a book, I guess, maybe it was a sign-in book. I don't know if you've heard this before, but someone took, someone smushed a daisy or wildflower in it, and they took it. And they said they had all kinds of problems after that in their own home with themselves. So just
did
stuff like that. So that, you know, that I don't know. All I heard was that they were having problems, but I didn't know whether or not they took it back or not.
Well, I'll tell you, it was something because when we first walked in from the parking lot, I turned on the recorder, and in 10 seconds, I had a spirit telling us to get the hell out. And when we got, I mean, 10 seconds, and that, you know, we had an EVP right off the bat. You know, it seems like they have guardians just don't, and they can tell who the paranormal investigators are. And they swatted us a mile away because we had our GRI shirts on, and, you know, they knew, and they know what we do. They understand implicitly what we do. But what was great was we did get some EMF spikes. There's no power in the town, none whatsoever, except for a few of the Park Service shacks and things like that where people are at. And some people actually live in some of the old homes. And I've heard, you know, we talked with them, and they had stories about ghosts waking up and seeing ghosts staring at them, you know, literally right over them, looking at them. They're like, what are you doing here? But we had one particular sequence where we had a EMF spike that we were in the middle of the road. And Christine called out to me, and she's doing, John. And I run over, and her K2, she's got it shielded from the light, and it's just spiking like crazy. And I'm looking at this going, looking around, trying to figure out where's the power source, you know, what's doing this. And then I pulled out my my tri-field, put it on, and it was spiking. And it was spiking, you know, even on the higher settings, it was pegging it. And then it just dumped. It was just gone. And and we had things like that happen all throughout the day. And so I'll recommend to you guys, if you do go out there to Bodhi, K2s are good. They're usually good for enclosed spaces. But when you're out in the open in the sunlight, take a tri-field meter, you know, something with an actual meter. You know, and you'll have a little better experience. You'll be able to see, it'll be easier to see. You know, that's the main problem. Because with a K2, the sunlight will wash that out. It'll be hard to. You have to shield it to look, you know. And if you got nothing else and you have to use a K2, then put some sort of a cardboard shield over it so you can at least see it with, and just look at it from the, you know, an angle without the sun getting into it. So it's good to have a range of equipment. You know, I'm lucky that I've got as much as I do and can, you know, try these different things out and work this out, but there's just a neat, you know, it's a neat thing to remember. You find out the hard way when you get out in the field and things are happening, you know. Now, what other cases we got planned? What do we? You remember this better than I do. I don't have my spreadsheet. Let me see if I can pull that up.
I think we talked about the Hornet. I'm not sure about that. Which that would be really awesome. But I think that's going to be later towards the end of summer. I think maybe Sebastopol was a possibility, and the pharmacy, which is really interesting. Truckee, we're going to go back to do Truckee reveal, and then the pharmacy, and possibly the White House, either one of those. And that those places have obvious history. I just kind of happened to go chat with the lady at the pharmacy, and the interesting part about the pharmacy is that, you know, it's just an old town Truckee, and what's his name? He used to perform there. I can't think of his name though. Not Groucho Marx, but
Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin, yeah. Charlie Chaplin used to. It's called a pharmacy. It's a boutique. It's a very high end boutique store, and it has a lot of the it shows a lot of older fashioned style clothing, like back in the day Charlie Chaplin would have been. And so when back then the bottom part was a bar saloon, and then the top part was theater, and the stage is still there and everything. So
yeah.
I happened to be out there with Steve and my girl, and took some pictures and got some some, you know, government evidence while I was there too. And the lady said, yeah, she said that would be good. So I think that would be one of them that would be good. And then the White House is just down the road, and it was a place where it's a wine bar now, but before it was they did hold, it was like the White House. It was like part jail down below, and then, you know, they conduct their business on the top level. So there's obvious activity at this place too.
Yeah, and we've got, I did manage to load this up in Google Docs, and I've got our upcoming manifest here. We got the reveal for the Auburn Mini Mall, and that was a wild one. And I want to go back and hit that, not only as a reveal, but this is one of the strangest cases we've ever been on, because we actually had a river that is flowing underneath the mall. And it creates, literally, it seems to be like a power source for whatever is going on in there. The place we were investigating was an old jail cell, and is now turned into a business. And the actual door to the business is the jail cell door. And it's got the same old lock and everything. And it has a habit of opening and closing itself, and we got EVPs that were incredible. And it was a last minute case that came up, and Spence invited me, and I said sure, and we jumped in the car, and I went tearing down there, and of course I got a ticket on the way. And I got there, and we did that case, and I was, you know, we got there, and it was so tiny, and I thought, oh my God, you know, what have I done? This isn't going to be much of a case. And we had thing after thing that happened, Spence getting touched, me getting touched, hair standing on end, seeing lights that would respond, electric lights would go on and off when we would talk and ask questions. I saw actual balls of light shooting up out of the floor into the ceiling. You know, it was just crazy. So, you know, we're going to do that reveal. And then we got our training mission coming up here on the 26th. And that's contingent on how my dad's doing after his surgery here this week. So that's coming up. We're going to be going down to Stockton, down to the the Masonic Lodge down there, which is just,
oh right,
jeez, that place is on it.
Yeah. Well, you guys get to go to a new Masonic Lodge, so that's what's interesting.
I'll say that again.
You're going to a different location.
Well, we're going to be going to another lodge, and that's separate of that at a later point. And, you know, Dan's going to go.
Oh.
So we'll be doing what I'm going to be doing at this particular location is taking both Dan and Spence, and we're going through equipment basics, protocols, techniques, and we'll actually do kind of a mini case right there, and we'll bring back evidence, and then they're going to run the evidence review. I'm going to make them do their own, and follow our protocol and submit to you and do the whole case reporting structure and all that. So that's coming up. Black Chasm, which we did on May 2nd, analyzing the evidence, and you've got the videos. And the Black Chasm caves, that was interesting. We did, you know, I had some EVPs in there from last year. I was just trying to disprove that you could get EVPs in a cave, and that backfired on me because I got amazing amounts of EVP. And so we went back and talked to the owner, the operator there, and she was kind enough to take us in, and we were impressed. Especially that lower section where all the stone is worn down from all the hydraulic mining, you know, that was like weird.
Yeah, the Zen. Yes, that was just amazing. Amazing, amazing.
Yeah, one of the things that we're going to do is when we get the reveal done with, we're going to pitch. We've already had a preliminary agreement that this would happen. But we're going to have basically an overnight camp out down there. Now, that's we're going to find out if there's been any reports of cougars in the area. Prior to that,
right.
We do want a team member being eaten alive. That would be bad. Always
that
bad.
That would be
for,
bad.
Yeah. Speaking of that, we just had reports of a majorly big cougar out at my home here. I'm looking both ways when I go outside right now. So, it's hanging around the next door property. We're fenced off here, but still I'm looking, you know. But
yeah.
And the other thing with the Black Chasm was what got me on that, the case we did, was that at the very end, and I had the H2 running, which is, that it's a very advanced recorder with four microphones. It's very directional. And I had that running, and we were shouting down and asking questions into the cave, and we were getting responses from down near that water area where that little pool is. Remember
yeah.
that? We were getting. I'm gonna pin you on this one. Do you think we were hearing our echoes, or were you thinking that this maybe is, you know?
Well, honestly, we were actually having some personal experiences in that area as well, so I have to be kind of on the fence about whether or not it's the echoes. Now, when I was listening to the audio, going over the analysis of the audio, it was really difficult for me to decide whether or not that was echoes from the water, because there was a lot of water dripping all over the place. So the audio is going to be, it's kind of a challenge. But as far as that, the personal experiences, I know I had one, and someone else in the team, I don't know if it's Steve or you, had one in that general area. So, I don't know. Couldn't even talk
yeah.
about anything.
Yeah, we're going to try a new technique that we may use when we go back into Black Chasm. It just depends on how sensitive they are about us doing this. On the Stockton case that we're going to be doing on the 26th, you remember when we went up to the fifth floor and you look down and there's that whole section of the buildings next door that are all encased?
Yeah.
No one's been in there for like 100
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
Dan is going to bring a fishing pole with him, and I am going to be tying off a digital recorder, and we are going to lower it down into that region, and we're going to call out.
Idea.
Yeah, we're going to call out, and basically we're going fishing with EVP. It's never, I don't know if anybody else has ever done it this way, but we're going to use a fishing pole in our work. We're going to give this a whirl. So what I'm thinking is... if there's a way we could maybe lower a recorder down in that cave without touching any of the rock, that would be interesting to see if they would let us do that. They're real sensitive about that kind of thing. I give it about a 10% chance they'd let us even try it. But the only other thing I can think of doing is bringing what's called a shotgun microphone in, which is very directional. And I may actually just go ahead and buy one of those. A shotgun mic in this kind of work is when you can't get down to a particular location, you can just, these are like having the ability to focus in on a particular point in space and get only the sound you want from that point in space. So, I think I'm going to go with that. But I would love to be able to drop a recorder down there where human beings normally don't go and see what we get. But I have a feeling we were getting trust my instincts on what we were getting back when we were doing all that talking and we were thinking we were hearing voices. Enough of us were hearing the same things. I think we caught something going on there, especially with the EVPs we got. So, I hope that when we do this one, that the other cave cases will open up for us, you know. So we'll get this one put to bed, and then we can see how it goes with the other caves in the area.
Yeah, I'd really be interested in getting over to the Moaning Caverns, because the Moaning Caverns actually have actual reports of activity from a lot of sources. So that was interesting. A lot of people were found at the 410-foot drop. There was skeleton remains down there that, you know, so there's some not to say that that's what it is, but I'm just saying that it has reports, the staff people have reported it, and it's, there's a video, I think they talk about it. A lot of Native American, of course, all over that area, so... So that would be really be interesting. It's just a huge, huge place. I mean, it's so big, you could fit the Statue of Liberty inside of the cavern. So you can imagine how big it is. It's huge.
Yeah.
It take a pretty good sized team to go down there. I mean, you know, at least 4 or 5 of us to go down there. And
yeah, the big thing there is going to be physical fitness and being able to handle the rappelling and the things that go on. I think that we're really going to be on, if that was a go, we're going to have to be on top of our game to really handle that. You know, and that's part of the reason I'm working so hard here on the ranch. It's going to have a, the other benefit is I'll be trimmed down and definitely more muscular and be able to handle some of these things that are going to require a little more oomph to get in. You know, and that's that was surprising to me that that cave, they allow people to climb right down into there in some of these areas, you know, because a lot of the times they're worried about the cave damage, but obviously it's been so much done there, they just don't care anymore. But, yeah, I mean, they found the bones, what was it, they found, didn't they find like a 13,000-year-old Asian skeleton down there?
Uh-huh, yeah, Asian descent skeletons were found down there that at the bottom. And you have to rappel to get to that part of it, and, you know, that's you have to go with a guide and all of that, but the staircase is like, I think it's 100 or 200 feet. So, I mean, just imagine trying to climb, going down is one thing, but climbing back up with gear and everything is quite another. But yeah, so.
Yeah, if we did that, it would be probably two digital recorders, you know, per person. You know, enough extra batteries to handle anything that comes up. Each of us has a video with an IR illuminator, and that's pretty much it. You know, we try to keep the equipment down to the minimum because it's just getting our physical selves in and out of there is going to be a real treat. You know, but I think we can handle it. I think we're tough enough. We can do this. So
sure.
Just see if we can get there. That's the big thing, is just getting there. You know, and you know, getting them to let us in and do this. Let's see, we got Bodie. We've already talked Bodie up. And we got Truckee, which we're going to be meeting with Tim Tomicella up there and probably stay overnight after the reveal and hit that some more. That Truckee Hotel was just an amazing couple of cases. You know, you and me did it, and then Spence and I and my cousin Kevin went in. And we got repeated EVPs of, "Heaven help me, I've killed her," is what this guy was saying. And I don't know what you picked up in some of those, on some of your expeditions into there. You know, I mean, what kind of EVPs did you get?
Well, we got some really interesting EVPs when we were in there. Class A EVPs, once we asked at room 208, which we've gone into before, we're standing at the doorway to go into the room and ask, is there anybody in here with us? And very distinct male voice. Gosh, I can't think of the name, but they said their name very clearly, like almost like they said it right into the mic. I mean, it was that clear. And then right after that was where there was an experience with the girl. Remember the part where she felt like she was being pushed off the bed, and she found the handprints, the fingerprints on her right after that. So there's some, you know, activity there in that room. We also got some more EVPs that, you know, I won't repeat what they said, but it was basically to get out.
Yeah.
Get out, you know, right now. And then the girl got pushed. So obviously, so, you know, somebody did not, you know, this one, the energies didn't want her, us to be in there, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's got some. And it's all over. Plus, the boiler room's got, you know, it's got activity. You and Spencer were down there.
Spence was freaked out. He came out of there looking. He was bug-eyed when he came out of that thing. I mean, I went in there, and I was pretty calm with it, but I knew something was watching me. And when I came back out, you know, we ran the evidence. It was this thing was just sitting there talking to me. It was actually a menacing kind of energy. It just didn't like anybody in there. It just wanted people away, and it just resents the hell out, you know, out of the investigators going in there. But I was surprised to get EVPs in the lobby. I mean, I got that anti-Chinese EVP. I mean, there was evidently a big Chinese anti-Chinese sentiment that was going on in the town, and when the gold and all the lumber, the economy started going under after the gold ran out. And they took it out on, you know, the minorities. And it was just terrible what happened throughout California, you know, with all of that. So they really took it hard. Mm-hmm. You know, the Chinese populations that were there doing a lot of the work cheaply. And when what happened was when they ran everybody out of town, the prices went up for everything because they, you know, they'd run out all the cheap labor. And then the town actually really started to fold. So it was mm-hmm. it was surprising, you know, that they didn't connect the dots and see how things really worked in there. But
right.
we definitely caught some of this old angry energy that still resides in there. And that hotel just seems to draw tragedy. I mean that's the one where I had one of my relatives that was shot in the jaw there. And she actually had her jaw blown off, shotgun blast. Her boyfriend went crazy in there and just shot her. And she survived it. She's still alive to this day, but has an artificial prosthesis for a jaw and, you know, lives a quiet life. But that place, repeated shootings of all sorts, sorts in there. And, and that little girl up there on the fourth floor is another one that just, you know, we actually heard her. That was crazy. We actually, you know, Spence and I heard her. She, out in the hallway, there were like six witnesses. And we all going, who's the little girl that's calling out? We go up there and look, and there's nobody there. And we're going, oh, boy. Broad daylight. Doesn't have to be night.
Yeah, and then you guys have, speaking of, you were talking about how, you know, the people being out of work and all of that, and the really sad part of the whole story was that guy that stayed in that one little tiny room for what was it, like 40 years or something? And
years.
You guys got a lot of evidence in that room too.
Yeah, we did. Spence and I went in there and did some work, and my cousin Kevin was there, and you know, we caught some video, and unfortunately we lost the video. It got accidentally erased, and so you know, we just about cried when we lost that. But I did come out of that with an EVP because of my clairaudience. I actually heard this guy yelling at me to get the hell out of there, out of my right ear. And that's the ear I usually hear them out of. And I called it out. I had my recorder running. I called it out, and my cousin's standing there going, what are you talking about? And I'm going, can't you hear that? And you know, he's saying, get out. And then the guy yelled it again, and it caught it on the recorder again, and yet my cousin couldn't hear it, and I'm hearing it. And so we got a pretty good proof of clairaudience that I've got it on occasion. Okay, that's great. But what was crazy was Spence has a particular kind of recorder, and I wish if anybody ever listens to the archive of this show who's in the manufacturer of digital recording devices, do me a favor. Copy what RCA did on their digital recorder, because what Spence had this recorder that he can set the time and date it starts to record. And so he set it to go off, and we made an agreement. I said, he said, what time do you think the activity would go on in that room if we weren't in there? And I said, well, let's try it about 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's a good safe bet. So he actually set it for like about 2:45. He set it to come on. So we finished our investigation. We all hit the rack and we're just snoring away. And we were right across the hall from this room. I personally locked the door and put it in lock off because we had the key to everything. So I locked the door. It's closed. Nobody has any chance of getting in there. That recorder comes on. It's sitting on the bed in room 40. I think it's room 401. And that thing suddenly about 3:10 in the morning, it went crazy in there. It sounded like somebody was taking the room and breaking it up and just tearing it to bits. And yet in the morning when I got in there, the room was absolutely fine. There was no evidence of that. And I didn't know what I had in the recorder when I went and grabbed it and handed it back to Spence. So this guy in there has got a real attitude. He's really territorial. And that room is not routinely rented. People don't stay in there. And nobody would ever say why they don't rent the room, but I can tell you, I think I know why, you know, based on the experiences we've had in there. And there seems to be a Masonic connection there. I picked up on that just instinct and just, you know, psychically, and I kept on bringing that up. And I felt that he was like a major Masonic character. And that's what we caught on the video that we lost. Spence was shooting with his Sony digital video, little pocket recorder. And when I asked the questions about, are you a Mason, it lit up just amazingly. And every time I mentioned Masons, it just went crazy. And it seemed to be this positive, it was always in the positive, that yes, he was proud to be a Mason. So I did bring it up with, people around there who, I knew to be, in the Masonic Lodge, and they were going to look into that. So we don't know that part of the story yet. But the thing that is striking to me is the fourth floor is probably, the third and fourth floors of the Truckee Hotel are where the action seems to be quite a bit of the time. But don't ignore the second floor. There was parts of the second floor that if you go in with a recorder, especially on the if you go in through the main entrance, it's more to the left side of the hotel. Remember the room you stayed in at the end?
Yeah, that was the room, well, one of the rooms, because I've seen a couple of them, but the 208 was just around the corner or like two doors down from there.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was nuts.
Yeah. The second floor had a lot of activity, and the staircase, I mean, I got all kinds of moving orbs, traveling orbs on the staircase. I always feel that there's a lot of activity on going up, like up and down the staircase. And just on the second level, I saw that. And I've got a lot of moving orbs on the staircase. That's the other video, which would have been really sweet, but obvious ones,
There's a room up there on the third floor that we stayed in when I first went there. I don't think it's 30-something. It's at the far end of the corner. If you go
very
up to the third left,
it's
end on the right. And that one was strange because, it was me and that guy that came along, that videographer. He came up and racked out because there were three beds in there. So he racked out on the left, and I took the right. And I woke up at 3 in the morning with like a black shape nearby me. And I'm looking at it, and I shook my head, and then it was gone. And I thought, did I see what I just thought I saw? And I had a recorder running, and I did get some EVP out of that. And so there's something to that room. You know, I had a feeling of a presence in there that whole time. So it's the whole hotel is just riddled with paranormal phenomena. I mean, there's just no getting away from it. And the staff are absolutely freaked out about the fourth floor. You try to talk to them, and Spence and me went and independently started talking to some of them, and they were like, they're going, we don't want to talk about it. And so, and then when you talk to some of the people down below at the main desk, then they'd whisper a few things to you, and it wasn't so much that they were worried about management because we were invited there by the management, but it was just that they're afraid for themselves. They there's a lot of superstitions and things that they have, and they're just wigged out by it. But the whole town, though, is just striking to me. I mean, Truckee is just, there's a lot more to it. The history is very violent. There's been a lot of death there. A lot of inflamed passions, and that cemetery you took me to, that was something.
Yeah, the 100-year-old cemetery. Yeah, it was very interesting. Got some class A EVPs there another time I was there as well. Interesting because right above that right below to the cemetery we went to, but right above it is another very large, more modern, newer, obvious cemetery. So there's, so it's kind of like, and then you got the river. So you have the cemetery to one side. The river is runs right through town, plus that old mill that's in town right next to the river and the train going through there. There's a lot of activity going in there anyways, plus the river. I mean, the Donna Lake is right there. I'm sure that has something to do with it. There are some stories I'll tell you one day about the fire that happened right next to the pharmacy and some of the people that told their story about what had happened the day. It was a tour during Halloween of 2009, and I was talking to some of the people there when I was doing some readings at the Truckee Hotel. And it was really interesting. This lady was telling us the story about the big fire that happened and how she was, you know, she was called to her husband had left her. They were doing a walking through, just visiting, and they, the husband, for some reason, walked across the street, like just went across the street, and she didn't really understand what he was doing. Like, she thought maybe he wanted to go see the other side, so she was still kind of window shopping, and so the husband's like telling her to come over here, and she was just about to walk up the staircase when she just felt like she needs to go over to where her husband was. And just as soon as she got stepped onto the sidewalk on the other side of the street, there was a big explosion, and, you know, they both would have died. So there was more stories to that. That was the one that stood out in my mind. You know, there was a lot of death at that point, too. So, you know, it's a hard place.
Yeah, Truckee is a very hard Sierra town. There's something about if you live in the mountains in this state, and you've been around it, because I've been around these people my whole life. You know, I oscillate between the more refined cities, of course, you know, and then you get up there, and people are a little more gritty. It's just the kind of life they lead, and they're pretty independent and all that. But there's just this side of them, you know. A lot of them are the salt of the earth, great people, and then you have some pretty rough and tumble characters that kind of make things a little bit tough. And, you know, I grew up in near Paradise, California, which is, you know, it made the news when it nearly burned down a couple of years ago, all the big fires out there. But Truckee strikes me as one of those typical rough cut, you know, rough and tumble towns, but it was a little more than most. It seemed like it... especially with the railroad traffic and bringing all the cargo and the people through, and it was this way station between Reno and then going down towards Sacramento, and so it's just a raw place, and you feel it even to this day when you get out of the car and you stand there and just soak it up. You just feel it. You feel like this can be a really rough place, especially. You know, with the amount of snow they get and how it snows in, and they get blizzard conditions, and they're on their own for quite a bit of the time. So it can get a little weird, you know. The only other place I've seen it probably as strange of an energy is in Anchorage and parts of Alaska I've been into. And same kind of gritty energy. They have their own way of doing things, and they're just a little bit different. The sense of humor is, and they've got quite an interesting sense of humor. So I'm looking forward to going back there and spending time. Especially, I want to go back to the cemetery because some of the EVPs we got were asking us to actually cross some of these spirits over. They were wanting to be crossed over, and I wanted to go back and tell them, you know, you guys could do that for yourself, but here's how you do it. You know, we could do a little ceremony if you want us to help, you know, there were like five, if I remember the count, I had four requests for crossovers from that cemetery of people that were hanging around that just didn't know what to do and were just kind of, you know, hemming and hawing about crossing over to, you know, to jump to the other side, which I still scratch my head at spirits like that. You know, it's like, you've been dead 100 years, just go. It can get pretty boring out here, can it? You know? So,
Yeah, you think.
Oh God, what else have we got going? Oh, Hornet. Yeah, Hornet is. I did. You know, just we're conducting team business during the show here. So, Hornet, I did write a letter to Heidi, who is one of the lead docents there and a good friend of mine. And I haven't heard back from her yet. So. I'll probably pick up the phone and give her a call this week and see if we can get some idea if they can open it up for us over there. I'd like to do a show off of the Hornet. I think that'd be cool. You know?
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, yeah. Because what I could do is hook the console I'll hook the mixer up and just tie it into a cell phone, and we can just run the audio through that, and then, you know, have standard mics just like we have. It'll be a little more phone sounding, but it would definitely still work. So we may very well do that, just having some interviews with the docents and talk about the history of the Hornet. It's a regular event for us. The Hornet is our unofficial home training location. I've been there many times now, and the ghosts there are just amazing. They have a sense of duty about them, and they will actually assign, there is a lead spirit that seems to, they have a command structure. And in talking with, I think it was Mark, is the guy, the lead docent, they have like this understanding, and the humans, the living people, have their own way of dealing with them, and they make agreements and they work with one another. And the crew who are departed crew who stick around are pretty much under the command of this one spirit, and they follow orders and they follow typical naval command structures. And so when people are out hunting, there's usually a spirit with people out there walking along with them and kind of just minding them. And it's definitely something to experience if you've never been aboard Hornet. The amount of evidence you can get just by putting drop recorders down, especially in sick bay, I've got an amazing amount of evidence out of there, just banging and crashing. You know, we were sleeping right next door, and I've got this drop recorder, and there's banging and pounding and slamming, and you're going, "What? I slept right next to that."
I can hear all that.
Oh yeah, we've had smells. I actually have a video of me having an encounter with a Joker spirit who thinks it's funny to try to scare the hell out of people, and he succeeded. He scared the hell out of me. I'm man enough to admit it. But it was my first time aboard the ship, and first 10 minutes I already have this experience, and then I find out there's a story about this guy that got killed in the bomb elevator there, and this is the guy. And Heidi showed me his picture, and it's like I could just see in my mind's eye this guy's laughing his ass off at me. So, so if you get the chance to hunt Hornet, trust me, you want to do it. It's just an amazing monument to the United States Navy and all the men and women who serve, in the armed forces. That ship, CB-8, is history, and you've got to see it at least once in your life. And if you're a paranormal hunter like me and and Renee here, you got to do it. So we're going to definitely range in on that probably in the October to November timeframe is what I'm hoping. Either that or maybe late August, but I'm getting kind of that feeling it's going to be later in the season. So, but we got the Virginia City one, and we're probably going to go back to the Gold Hill Hotel, which is the Yellow Jacket.
Yeah, I want to.
Have you ever been to Virginia City?
No, but I've heard of that location. I've heard that it's the location. It's the Golden, what did you call it? The Golden?
Yeah, the Gold Hill Hotel is one of the
Gold
oldest.
Gold Hill Hotel, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the oldest hotel west of the Mississippi. And it really is just an amazing location. There's a building that you can rent. It's just another hotel room, but it really is a building. I mean, it's a whole building itself. It's the building where the miners used to change into their clothes and mining clothes, and they change out of them and shower before they went down into the mine. And there were two. There was a big shaft where they had sunk where they were going down and getting silver ore out of that goes down about like 3,000 feet, and it's right next to the building. As a matter of fact, they've got this little dinky fence around it. If you step over it, you're going to go for a ride, nobody will hear you hit bottom. That's kind of how it goes. But what happened was in 1850, there was actually a major fire that killed roughly 40, 45 men, burned to death in there. And so their spirits hang out in that area, and we did have encounters. And this was last year, and what happened was we stayed in the miner's cabin, and it's just what they've done. They've cobbled it together into this kind of strange. If you ever go in there, the showers are in the middle of the building. The building is on three levels, so you have to step up from one part of the building to the next, and you look at it and you go, why didn't they build it? They just raised the floor, but it's wicked weird. And the ghosts do come in there. And we did have EVPs in the building outside. I got into a tug of war with the back door. I went to open the door, and somebody was pulling on it. And I thought it was one of our team until I realized the door, the screen door that was I was pulling against, I looked and the other door was still closed. So I'm pulling against an invisible force and having a tug of war with this door, and there's no wind. And finally, I could just feel this guy laughing at me. I could just feel him laughing at me. And I finally went, ha, you're funny. And then it let go. And it just wanted to be acknowledged. But I took the advice of Mark and Debbie Constantino, who we've had on the show quite some time ago. Great EVP investigators. These folks are just, I look up to them a lot. They said to take gifts there, and so that's how we got into gifting with whiskey. So we took whiskey, and everybody had a ceremonial drink at the front of the mine where the collapse and the fire happened. And then left whiskey for them. And usually paranormal teams that go in there are run out. They're given a hard time by these spirits. We were treated very kid gloves. And we did get some evidence. We had some sightings. I saw a half of a body come running out of the mine, just the legs and nothing else. 10 minutes later, two of our investigators saw a blue orb about 6 to 8 inches across come flying out of the mine and follow the same course. We saw white lights shining up in some of the buildings that we knew nobody could be up in the middle of at night. And the EVPs and the things we got, it was a good case, and Virginia City is just, even if you go up to Boot Hill in the daytime, we did some stuff up at Boot Hill and got some great EVPs during the day, especially when I asked the question about, I'm trying to remember, I think his name is William Story, the guy who Story County is named for there in Nevada. He's buried at the very topmost point of that cemetery out there at Boot Hill. And when Zach from Ghost Adventures went out there and antagonized that guy and they got run out, they literally got grabbed by their scruff of their necks and hauled out of that cemetery by these spirits.
Yeah,
and I got, I asked that guy, I went to his grave and I asked him, I says, was it you who did that? And when we play it back, Christine had actually done the initial analysis on this. And I asked the question and this voice comes on and says, yes. And you could hear the kind of this, he wasn't chagrined, but you could hear this happy kind of yes. And I could just see this guy smiling as he's thinking about it because he got Zach so good, it's just, we're going to stop there. On our way out on the grand tour, we'll stop and stay at the Silver Queen Hotel, which is a different one. So we'll actually have a couple of Virginia City missions this time out. But the Silver Queen is right more downtown, and it's definitely got a lot more activity in it. It's kind of a seedy hotel, but it's known for pretty reliable phenomena. So we'll see what we get when we go in there. Just be ready. Be ready, because it's going to be a great year.
Yeah, it absolutely is going to be awesome. It's already starting off really great. So, we got some really exciting things coming up, and we're off to a good start. I don't know if I should say good start or not, but, Spencer's house was had some real interesting, energy sources in there. And,
yeah. That was a good, I think it was a good workup case just for us to, and you and me to hunt together for the first time in quite a while. I mean, we're just, because we've all our lives have been kind of in disarray from, since the beginning of the year. It's just been kind of tough. And now that it's warmed up and things are kind of settling down and, we're ready. And, I feel that. I feel like we're going to really kick butt. I did load two of these, the one before the house was built. I think we played that, right? And
I don't think so. I think we played two of them so far, I think.
Yeah, I got
I
the
think
RU.
It was the one. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, what's that? Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I got the Are You a Friend, Before the House Was Built, Light and Shower, which I know we played, and Would You Like Us to Leave? And I think, what in the heck is...
We probably have time. We could probably play them all again since there's more people in the chat room now.
Yeah, I extended the show a little bit because people were asking. So let's go ahead and let's just go with Are You a Friend? And I'll just play them one at a time and we'll just go through. Here we go.
Once for yes and twice for no. I'm going to repeat. Is that okay? So I'm going to repeat the question.
Okay, I'm going to take that up to 400%. No, so be ready. Here we go.
Once for yes and twice for no. I'm going to repeat. Is that okay? So I'm going to repeat the question.
Oh, I heard it at the end there.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah. You can hear an obvious no, you know. So I'm like, okay.
let's try the Before the House Was Built one. Here we go. And there's a thing that's going on in the chat room with, if you have short, I don't know who's posting that, schizophrenic, listen carefully. I hope it's okay. Anyway, let's see, Before the House Was, wow, it keeps going. Before the House Was Built, let's try that.
Are you an energy that was here from before the house was built?
Yeah, yeah, we played this one before, and definitely, yeah, that definitely came through. We played The Light in the Shower, but let's just do that again. I mean, I'm going to play it at 400%. That way we can really pull that out there. That's that one's got a lot of activity at the end.
Can you make the light in the shower go off a little? Can you do that for me?
Yeah, you heard that loud and clear. It overdrove a little bit with my voice, but you could definitely hear it at the end there where it really kicked in. And it sounds male to me. I mean, let's try Would You Like Us to Leave? And this is the one I think whenever we say that, it's kind of a hook. It's kind of the hook we throw out because we know they're going to respond with, get out of here. You're bothering us. So here we go.
Would you like us to back out of here a little?
Yeah, I think I heard yes.
Yeah, it was yes.
Okay, here we go. We'll play it at 200.
Do you like us to back out of here a little?
Yeah, yes. So it's the thing that gets me is they spend their time, you know, appearing in front of you. They obviously do this energy to manifest and have us notice them, and then when we want to talk to them, then they get all like gun shy. I look at the paranormal world and I say, are you nuts?
I think they get off on it. I think that the ones that are just bored and stuck, they just, you know, they're like, well, what's the fun? There's no fun in you and me going there because we're not afraid of them. You know, if they're freaking people out, they're like, yeah, you know, party time. So I think that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I just think that there's a whole complex ecology going on in that place, and I've been pushing on Spencer though to go out with me, and we do some random spot checking with EVP around the neighborhood and see what we pull in, and I may be able to talk him into doing that. Sometimes he'll just call me up and say, "Hey, come on over," and so. The next time that happens, I'm going to say, on one condition, we do the spot check I've been wanting to do. So we'll see if that works out. Because I just have a feeling that there are people all through that neighborhood that are having experiences that are, you know, maybe not knowing what the hell they're dealing with. And, I just have this strong feeling that they're on top of some sort of Indian settlement or graveyard of some sort. Old community that kind of is just coming back to life because of all the stuff that's going on right above it. So,
did you happen to get the chicken one? Did you get that one left loaded when it's calling the chicken or calling the chicken or saying chicken?
Actually, I think I may be able to play this right off of let me go back to here. And let me see if I've got that.
That one was really clear. I mean, really clear. When I was listening to it, it almost kind of gave me the chills. Where I'm like, man, that was really like he was just mocking us.
Yeah, there was like okay.
And then you were telling me about the dog, and I didn't know about that, but yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, now what happened was Spence had an experience that had been happening. Yeah, here's go chick chick. I can play this through, right off the browser. What was happening was the next door neighbor is a little bit off, and he actually brought chickens to the house in a regular subdivision where you have CC&Rs and it's just you don't do that. It's not a farm. It's not a farm-rated neighborhood. But this guy brought brought chickens and God knows what other creatures were hauling around in the backyard. Well, one of these chickens started crawling through the yard, crawling through the boards. They were digging under the fence, and popping up in Spencer's yard. And Spence has a dog that is pretty good sized, and Spence found all these feathers in the backyard. And then he found this chicken that was dying, that had just been bitten up by the dog, and it's like, oh my God! And so he wrote about it on his blog, So I'm not giving away any secrets here, but he's telling me the story of this crazy neighbor because they go over there and confront him, and there's like birds hanging from the ceiling that are curing in the sun in this neighborhood, and I'm just going, oh my God!
Wow!
So when you came in with this EVP, I'm going, oh, my God, I think the spirit is talking about the chicken incident. And you didn't know anything about this. That's the best part. You send this to us, and it's like, oh, my God. So I'm going to try to play this out of the browser and see if you guys can hear that. Here we go.
We're going to go ahead and call it a night, all right?
Can you hear that?
I can. You can just hear him going, chicken.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, let's play it one more time. And I just think that's the best EVP. That is like one of the signatures of the year. This is great. Here we go.
I'm going to go ahead and call it a night, all right?
That's me talking. And then I hear a little whisper, and then here it comes.
It almost sounds like he's saying, go, like, chicken, like, go on, go, like, a big chicken. That's what it sounds like he's saying. But the whisper just before is even creepier than, it's like you got the creepy go and then the chicken.
that's weird. The part that's getting me is, like, they think we're scared of them. It's like, you've thrown your best at me and I still keep coming back. I mean, get over it. Now let's find out why you're there.
That was good.
Let's see. They have. There's one more here that you had. The Sarah Ben one, second floor.
Yeah, I was asking. Yeah, they actually said. I heard them say her name, and then Ben at the end. But Sarah's a little bit hard to hear, but I could hear it. And then you heard Ben really obvious at the end.
Okay, let's see. Here we go. We'll go ahead and play that. Yeah, I heard that. I turned up the gain a little bit here. You could hear Ben at the end there. I'm going to advance it to that point and play that part. Right there, Ben. So... Yeah,
you can, I don't know who Ben is, but you can hear it. And I'm not sure if he's saying Ben, but you can hear, I can hear Sarah. It's kind of faint, but you can hear him say Sarah, and then right at the end you hear the Ben. But maybe they'll know what that means.
Well, Sarah is obviously, Spence's wife.
Sarah, right.
And I'm not sure if one of the children's name is Ben, so we'll have to find out about that. But
I thought about that, too.
Yeah, there's just a... I don't know. I'm going to talk to Spence about some of this. You and I have had our feelings about, some of the clearing possibilities of that place.
Yeah.
It definitely needs some attention as to I was even trying to talk Spence into some things, you know, just some preventative measures and things. So I think that time, that talk is coming. So we'll see how that goes. Now, let me go back here to, let's see, I've got, trying to find where I had my, there I am. Okay, there's Google Doc. You know, Google Docs is the greatest thing, man. I just love this. You know, spreadsheet, I could just load spreadsheets up there, and you and I can collaborate now. Maybe we'll just put our spreadsheet up there, and we can work with that from there. Let's see. You and I did that preliminary mission out to a volcano, and we looked at the St. George, and then the Union Hotel, which has opened back up. And that little town of Volcano is just way haunted. Old gold rush, you know, standard gold rush town, but it's real sleepy and it's out in the middle of nowhere out there and off of Highway 89. And, you know, I did a case, you know, out there in 2008, we did the St. George with a couple of team members who have since moved away. And we had knocking sounds. We were getting, we got EVPs that were just really good, you know, stuff. We had a male spirit screaming at us. You know, you literally get out, and at the top of the lungs, you know, just really pushing it. I caught a light phenomenon on the Sony night shot of this orb come and it came flying out of the heater, and it was not a spark. When I looked at it, when I realized what I saw, it I actually saw it come out, and then I looked with my regular eyes looking to see, is it a spark? Is the place going to catch on fire and burn down? And there was no spark. And, you know, and this thing was still in the frame, you know, so I got that on video, and I'm going to have to find that video for you so we can post that on the site. So now that I've got some.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's, you know, but, you know, we even had, one of the great techniques in this business is lock off. When you can prove that you had a room locked off and you put equipment in there and there should be nothing going on in there. And, one of the recorders I had actually running, something came up just like what you're talking about with what happened at Spence's house with your drop recorder. I had my drop recorder running in this on the third floor of the St. George, and so, you know, this room was locked, and it, something was coming up and ticking the recorder, going click, click, click. And then we started, it was like 45 minutes. You know, we were gone 45 minutes. We went into town to go get dinner. So we had locked the hotel down. We were the only people there. They gave us the keys and said, have fun. And we came back, and there was, when I ran the analysis, about 15 minutes before we came back, there was this big set of banging and jolting and crashing noises that came through. And you could hear whoop, bang, you know, and then and when we tried to find out later from, you know, the proprietor, we said, is there any equipment that would do that? No. You know, so I can't say it's paranormal because it could have been somebody banging on the building. You know, we weren't there to see. But it was just very striking that we would have, though, the direct ticking in the room, something doing its thing. And then we did get EVP from there. Same, you know, eventually it did talk. So we got a few whispers into there. But there's a little girl that is rumored to be there, and we did catch her voice. And then we got a woman, and then, of course, this cantankerous old man on the second floor who's really territorial. And but it's a great haunt, neat hotel, good energy there. But the Union is the one we've – that was the one I showed you the plaque, Ghosts on the Premises.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's like a state historical marker, and we took the picture, you know, and I've just always loved this place because it's like you read all about its history, and then at the bottom it says Ghosts on the Premises. It's like a state historical mark. And I just went, oh, that's cool. But evidently that same little girl is makes the transition between the St. George and the Union. So we're definitely wanting to go back there in probably in October, November time frame. And spend some time there. They've got a great restaurant down below, but it's the rooms upstairs. We did get to go up and poke around there and look, and it's a smaller hotel than the St. George. But, yeah, Volcano, it's just got a weird feel about it, the whole place. It's not far from the Black Chasm Caves. It's only a mile, I think, from the Black Chasm Caves. So that whole area, just...
Yeah, that's right. It's just right there.
Yeah, and then you've been looking at those Masonic caves that are just down the hill. You keep bringing those up.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, when we saw that. Cause I think it was just before we just stopped in or right after, but when we saw that, we're both kind of doing the double take, like, you know?
Yeah. Now, I got a question in the chat room here. It says, is the Sheridan House restaurant still in Virginia City? I don't know about that, Kira. You know, that's I'm going to write that down, Sheridan House. And the question is, why are you asking me that, my dear Kira? What are you wanting to know that for? Is there something there that we don't know about that we might benefit from our visits? Because, and let's see what else. Sounds like... And Scott Wise is here. Hey, GHI is here. Haven't seen Scott. We haven't seen you in a while, buddy. Good to see you. I might as well take a moment and read off. I don't know what time we got here. Okay, we got 20 minutes left. So I have been remiss in my duties. Let's read off everybody. We did have Karen, and I saw her. She had to leave. So Karen's Dream was here. John, that's me. Got Blue Edge Radio. That's you, Renee. We got Blue out in Tennessee. Woohoo! We got Kathy's Distant Echoes, my dear friend, and she's just a sweetheart. And she's out there on the east coast of these United States defending us from evil and chaos. And we have Domenico Morte, and she's here. And we got Elizabeth Rose in Arizona. Hello, my dear. And we have Fire Witch is with us, and she's out in Pennsylvania. And we got Giraffe, who has a four-leaf clover, Akira LaRue, and I will see an answer from her any second. Actually, I heard the old library. Ah, the library. Okay, I'm writing this down. You're giving us a hint. Okay, and we have Pamela. Pamela's sitting there making funny jokes and talking about crazy people. And we have Philly Fever. Hey, my friend. Good to see you. And Scott Wise from Ghost Hunters Incorporated, one of the older groups out there. Been around since 1976, these guys. And they are very experienced, very knowledgeable. And let's see. We've got Steve Reinhart is a investigator in training with GRI. So he is popping in, and maybe he'd want to come out and do the training mission with us here on the 26th. So we'll have to see if he wants to pop an email to me. Maybe we can include him and get the guys from GRI out there, and we'll do some training out in the field and maneuvers, man. Get our military side going on here. So good to see all of you guys, and we've had a nice show here. I mean, a lot going on with what we're up to. I do have a couple of these different cases that have come in. We do have one of the shows. We got a case down by Modesto, and I don't see the person here who usually does talk about that. But we've got a case in Modesto that we may be able to fit in. When I did one of my shows doing readings for, ITC readings. So basically when we're contacting the other side through ITC here on the Thursday night shows, this gal, came on and it turned out there was some sort of, a battle on her property, between, the law enforcement and some sort of criminals. So, and evidently it references to a hanging, that kind of thing. And they're having a lot of spirit activity in the house, so she called and we went through that whole thing. So we are invited out to go down to Modesto, so we may be able to, you know, depending on how the cases all shake out and who's able to go when, we might be able to get that in and, check that out. And, we also have the a friend of mine at my workplace, which is also haunted. Second floor has had all kinds of crazy activity, but it's kind of died down a bit now. But I've got another friend who's telling me about some haunted apartments in downtown Sacramento, so we may be looking at that. And I'll have to talk to you more about that. Yeah, it kind of struck me. It was evidently this thing starts talking to her in her house, and she talks back, and then it gets talking more, and then she gets scared. And then evidently they're seeing black shadows come walking through and walk right through. You know, and peek around corners at people. So,
Did she say?
Yeah.
Did you say it was in Carmichael?
No, it's down by Arden Way.
Oh, Arden.
It's out there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not too far from Sac State University, so we're finding out more and seeing if she's willing to go for it. I'll have to appraise her that we have to be realistic because, you're in an apartment complex. I don't know how they're going to be about us going in unless it's just we investigate just inside the room, in the it's like a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment, but we wouldn't be able to do much more,
Yeah, I did an apartment complex in Carmichael not too long ago, and that place was just, it just had a lot of energy. I mean, there was pennies, literally pennies, coming from thin air, dropping into the middle of our circle when we were trying to communicate and landing on the table. Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it was like the most evidence, the most activity that I could see, where it was actually happening and things were actually moving. And it was a really small apartment. So we just stayed right inside the apartment. We didn't go and investigate the grounds. We just stayed in the apartment and they helped clear it. Went in and we did an investigation. Me and some other people went in and did some clearing. And then they reported that they were fine and the evidence had gone. And I was able to connect with two of the energies that were there, one specifically. But it was good. It was a good feeling because I knew that we actually helped these people. They were so scared, and there was a lot of activity in this apartment. But it subsided. When we told them, you're scaring these people, please, just you've got to move on, and helped them just try to do the best we can to help them move on. And then they reported that everything was cool. So I was very pleased. I was really happy about that investigation.
What was funny was last year I had my dad had to have kidney stones taken out, and we had him down at Mercy Hospital down there in Carmichael, and he had to stay. He had some complications after the removal. He was bleeding and they couldn't let him go, so we had him in this room and he was still a little bit out of it, and they had to give him he had to go in back in twice for to try to work the problem that was going on. They finally got the bleeder and took it out and we're able to cauterize it. But he was like completely out of it. I'm in there sitting at the end of the bed and watching him, and there's nothing going on. And all of a sudden I remembered I had my EVP recorder with me in my pocket. And I went,
wow.
I'm in a hospital. Nobody knows I'm going to do this. So I went out and I pulled out the recorder and I did an EVP session in the room. Well, sure enough, I get back home and I got an extremely clear Class A that said, with this kind of a trumpety noise that came on, and it was like this trumpet sound, and then this voice comes on and it says it like this: "We guide them to the light," and it says it just like that: "We guide them to the light." And I just, when I heard that, every hair on me just went.
Mine's standing on end right now, and I'm like, "You can hear it there. That's cool. That is, that's amazing. That is what this is like. Primarily, what drives me in this industry is communicating. And I want to know. I've got questions, and you got an answer from obvious guides, angels, whatever you want to call that. That to me is amazing. Talking and hearing EVPs are cool. But to get it from the guides or the direct, forces that are helping that are on it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just cool. So
that's
really, I never heard that word before. So yeah, very nice.
It was obvious I was connecting to a different class of entity that just was completely different.
Yeah.
They were. Totally. It was just this. You could tell it was there to service people who were passing away, and literally
wow.
They had teams
that's
there
impressive.
That were.
See, good job.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I just dipped it into the water to see what I'd catch, and bang, that comes up. And what I found, and this is good for anybody out there listening doing, paranormal investigation, if you ever get a chance to hunt in or around a hospital, do it. I guarantee you, you're going to get great evidence because the passions that go on, the life and death situations that go on, the things that happen, are amazing. And I talked to we have a hospital up here in Placerville that we use quite a bit for Dad. It's we like it better than Mercy for a lot of reasons, and they've been around a long time, little community hospital and great doctors, and you know, staff was just awesome. And we got talking with some of the nurses and asking some questions. You know, they found out I did this work, and so they would come up to me and they'd say, you know, when we go down to the morgue and down into the record sections past the morgue, we don't have to go down there alone. And I said, well, why? And they go, we've seen things. And I went, oh. And so they do, you know, there's this whole, I believe, when it comes to hospitals, I think that most of them who've been around for any appreciable length of time are going to have paranormal phenomena going on with great regularity. So if you could find a hospital that, you know, more than likely you won't be able to get into them to do a formal investigation, but if you could find one that's recently closed or has closed and you can get in legally, the important safety tip, definitely, you know, put your effort into that, because it's the emotions, all the right things have happened to create paranormal energies that would be around it. You know, it's one thing to go to a cemetery where somebody is laid to rest and get energies, but you know, I won't go into all the other cases, you know, EVPs I've gotten from hospitals, but I've done it repeatedly now, and you will get amazing evidence at hospitals. You know, even if you just stand out in a parking lot. So if you do want to do an active hospital and you don't want to have to go through a lot of work, just get near it, and then just, you know, throw your recorder on and see what you pick up. And mm-hmm. You'll walk away impressed. Yeah.
Wow.
That thing answering me like that, we guide them to the light. What the heck was that? You know, I mean, was it an angel?
I would think it was an angel or a guide or a family member. Who knows? I mean, it just sounded like a very higher being of light, you know, that it was guiding, obviously there to guide, not just, you know. So that's really, it kind of makes me think, like, you know, did his superiors get kind of like, hey, you're not supposed to get caught on radio. That's not supposed to happen. So I don't know. That's just cool. I haven't heard that before. That's awesome.
Yeah. The thing that I see with paranormal work is a lot of people think you have to go to the known cases, you know, and you have to go to the known places that everybody else goes. You know, the way we work is a little different. We go trolling. We go looking for places that nobody's hit. We look for, we try to think outside the box and think, is this a spot nobody's hit before, and is it a spot where we have a likelihood of getting something? You know, some of the major things to look for, has there been a lot of people that just frequented the spot over a long period of time? Were there inflamed passions? Were there passions and lots of emotion that were in the area? That's a big one. Was there loss of life in the area or injuries in the area? That's another big telltale. If you start getting them in combination, the chances go up. So when you're doing your case research, those are some flags to be, you know, questions to be asking. And if you start checking those off and they start showing up in multiples, you're probably going to have a pretty good shot at getting some great evidence. You know, cemeteries are great, but I'm just finding, you know, jail cells, police stations, you know, all the regular things that you would think of. Okay, that's great, but nobody thinks about hospitals, you know, shopping malls, things like that, where there's been a lot of life around, you know. The military bases and things like that, that's, you know, obvious. But start thinking of other places. Look inside your own community and look for the places that, you know, nobody's ever thought of going to, you know, and see what goes on there. Look at some of the dead museums that people never visit in their own communities. You will find tremendous energies there. We talk about the gold rush stuff here all the time, but if you go into some of these places, a lot of the equipment that's in there is original and was around people who, you know, did lose their lives in accidents and things like that. And it seems like some of these energies stay around that equipment for whatever reason, and we pick it up. So, take your thinking cap and, you know, put it off to the side and then open up and throw your mind open to trying something you never thought of doing with it, with your equipment, and going out to a spot you've never hit before. And I think you will find, you know, you'll be getting results big time. You can go out to ghost towns that nobody has ever been to. You know, look in some of the ghost town books, and then go out there where it's off the beaten track and nobody's been out there, and then take your gear and camp overnight and see what you get. You know, it will surprise you. You'll get evidence. I guarantee it. And we're running out of time. We're almost at 5 minutes here, my friend.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, no, I'm liking these shows like this where we could just talk about some of our stuff. I love bringing people on Sundays where we usually you know, bring in other folks and feature them. But yeah, I mean, talking about some of the things we've done, having you on that, and introducing you as our new case manager, you know, and I'll tell you, Renee, yeah, you are good at what you do. So you know, I feel lucky to have you here on the team.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on and introducing me. And it's too bad Spencer wasn't able to make it, but he's a very exciting guy, and he's got lots of stories to tell. So it'll be a fun show having, you know, listening to him come on, too. It'll be a good time. Too bad he couldn't make it. I'm sure he's beat. He's been driving.
Yeah, I could not do that to that poor man after what he's been through with six kids. And he even had his pet rats in the car.
Oh, wow.
He took the rats with him. I mean,
I didn't know that.
It was friggin' Noah's Ark there, you know, driving down the road on I-5 to go up to where he went. So he's got rats. And then the poor guy got up to British Columbia, and he was freezing to death because he didn't take a coat. And I'm like going, Spence, you're going to Canada.
That's
even
right.
Far, they got frost there. God, you know, poor guy. So, yeah, we'll get him on again, and then I'll have you come in, too. We'll have another GRI night here soon. You know, but... yeah, you know, we'll keep on telling you guys out there everything we're up to. And, you know, I think that this grand tour is going to be great because when we do, we'll be doing shows from the road, and we'll be posting the videos as we go. So you'll get to see what we're up to all along the way. And maybe even with some of the cases coming up, it'll be a two-way exchange. Maybe you can tell us some ideas or, you know, places along the way that you see us nearby and we might be able to investigate. So. We'll definitely be looking at that. So, you know, September can't come fast enough for me. I am so pumped about this. This is a big one for us. So, I mean, all of us are going to walk away with just, you know, an amazing amount of evidence to keep us busy through the holidays. But not only that, it's just some great memories. And that's what half of this is about living and getting out there and experiencing life and new people and making new friends. And things you've never seen before, and that's what we're going to
do. That is so important, and I can't say that enough. I just, you know, I started that group, and then now it's so important for everybody, you know, all of us, to just get out and step outside of our world, you know, because we get so consumed with, you know, I'll sit at my computer from the morning till the end of the day and not even get up and go outside, you know, and just get consumed. So it's just so important to go ground yourself into Mother Earth and just take it in and just feel alive, you know, and you will. And it is addicting. I miss it when I don't do it now because I've been forcing myself to do it. So just wanted to put that out there. Like, I agree.
Well, I'll tell you what. That's why we're all doing this, and you will see that more of that. And but we're running low on time, but I will say this one thing, too. We are going to open up cases locally. For the time being, we'll open up a few of them for public attendance. So if we do get some of you who do want to come along, let us know. And switching down to 1 minute here, we got almost, yeah. So, and we will also, when we get into the second tour for 2011, if the world is still here, we will definitely open up to maybe have some people caravan with us and be part of that. So this first one is for us to figure out how this is all going to work. And then we'll take it from there. But anyway, Renee, thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thank you, John. Thanks, everybody. Have a great evening, you guys.
Okay, you guys. And let's see. I'll try to get this in real quick. Blue Edge Radio. We've got Blue Goose, Kathy's Distant Echoes, Dominica Amore, Elizabeth Rose, Fire Witch. We have Kira LaRue, Pamela, Philly Fever, Scott Wise, and Steve Reinhardt. And all to all the lurkers out there, thank you very much. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. Good night, everybody. Okay, and we are off stream, but I'm staying on just a minute. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, you know, we had a caller here at 281, and I feel bad because they got their hand up. So we're still on, we're still recording on Blog Talk, but I felt bad because I just saw it and I went, oh, we're not going to be able to get him in on time, but we can get him on the archive show. So I have opened up the line to 281. Hello, 281.
Hey, it's me, Kira.
Hi, Kira.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I don't think you saw all my text. Remember, I used to live in Virginia City.
Oh, so
remember?
You know it.
Yeah, my mom did camel races and stuff up there, and I used to live above the brass rail.
Oh, my. So
I guess
you
it's
know
still
the
called the brass rail. I was telling you that I know the bucket of blood is supposed to have a lot of activity.
Mm.
Especially the steps that go down towards the V&T rail car.
Yeah.
And the old library and the old school. And I know they do tours of them, don't they?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think there's
they
like
still
a
do
new
tours.
Center down. Yeah, they put it. They put in like a whole new center down below. If you go off the main drag and it's down, there's like a whole new flat there, and they put brand new buildings.
Oh, down by where the rail car was or is or
yeah.
Okay.
It's all new there.
Well, I used to go horseback riding when I was up there too, and if you get on horse and you go out, you will actually find Juliet, whatever her name is, that the bucket of blood is named after.
Yeah.
You'll actually find her gravestone out in Nowhereville, but you have to be horseback to find it. But I've been to the cemetery there in Virginia City as well, you know, with all the old tombstones and stuff.
Yeah.
So I've been to the cemetery, but when you go out on horseback, because down at the bottom of the hill, now remember this has been eons ago since I was there, but down at the bottom of the hill, past the V&T rail car, keep going down further, there's a place where you can rent horses.
Yeah.
And so we would go on horseback, and like we found vacant, empty mines. You know, that they had done mining in, and they just were empty. You know, nobody goes there anymore. Actually, kids were going there to party and stuff. But yeah, I remember one year I was up there for Halloween, and we went trick-or-treating through Virginia City, and that's pretty scary at night. But I never saw anything. I've never seen anything myself. So, you know, I don't know. I've just heard that, you know, there is a lot of activity up there, which is to be expected, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't, you know, I was really surprised that I had visual sightings the way that happened there. You know, I saw I had two physical, you know, sightings. I saw this white light up in this building. If you go up to the Gold Hill Hotel, off to the left, if you go past the miner's cabin and you look further out, there's those big kind of corrugated buildings that are on stilts.
Where is that at? Is that on above Main Street or where?
Well, if you're coming into from down
from
the valley.
Reno or?
Yeah, not from Reno, the other direction.
Okay.
From Tahoe. And you're coming up from Tahoe area, and you come up through the valley there, and then from Carson.
Right.
And then,
through Silver City and all that, or whatever that
is.
Yeah,
so you go up through Gold Hill. Gold Hill is like about a mile before going on the other side. And so you look, and there's all these buildings that were all mining buildings on big wooden structures. I mean, they're big buildings. They're, you know, 100 feet long, you know, maybe 60 feet wide. And obviously they had big, heavy equipment in them to do all the lifting and the cabling and the things they were doing. Well, we're out there, and it's me, Vicky, and Christine are standing out there, and we're talking, and it's, you know, it's nighttime, and I look up, and I didn't know Christine had taken off and walked back to the miner's cabin, and we freaked out because we thought we lost her, but
uh-huh.
We didn't know that at that point. And all of a sudden, I caught a motion up in this one building, and I said, "Vicky, do you see that?" And she says, "Yes." And I says, "What are you seeing?" And she says, "A ball of light is floating from left to right."
Oh, wow.
That's what I'm seeing. And it literally was bright enough to illuminate the inside. And we watched it cross, and it just went over. Now, there's no way any human being would be in there because it's all, it's too dangerous to get around
right,
out there at night.
Right.
And, we were like looking at each other going, "Okay." And earlier than that, I had seen the half apparition come running out of the mine, which just,
wow.
It just blew my socks off. But the EVPs in Virginia City are very prevalent, and the town is extremely, extremely active.
Right.
I just think that if you were to go back with an eye towards experiencing something like that and opened yourself up to it, I think you would have experiences.
Yeah, I was like 11 or 12 that year that I lived up there because my dad was a singing bartender at the Brass Rail. And so he had like a little apartment above it. And so I lived there. But, you know, I wasn't into paying attention to that kind of stuff back then. But I'd love to go back now and, you know, see what I could see. And the other thing you were talking about was over off of Arden Boulevard in Sacramento. I used to live, that's in North Sac. I grew up in North Sacramento. Arden Mall and all that that's over there.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I lived in North Sacramento, and I also lived in Citrus Heights before I moved up to Reno.
Yeah, Citrus Heights is just down, is far away. And there's a lot of paranormal activity all through Carmichael, mm-hmm. North Sac. And if you get down towards the Sacramento River, you know, down the Old Town area, mm-hmm. it's chock full of stuff. HPI hunts down there quite a bit. You know, that's kind of their turf, and I don't go down there too much. But you know, when you get targets of opportunity, like what happened at when I had the hospital event, that was great. But yeah, this friend of mine at work, she just comes in, and when she knew I was doing this kind of thing, she comes up and says, Do you do private home investigations? I went, yeah. What's going on? And she starts telling me, and I go, wow. So I'm waiting to see if they're going to go for it.
Well, North Sac is the old part, really. I mean, is the old part of Sacramento. So that would make sense too, because I lived off. If you're going on I-80, you exit Norwood.
Yeah.
And we lived off of Norwood. My sister went to Norte del Rio High School.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about.
Yeah,
I used
so
to
that's
live up,
where we grew. That's where I grew up, actually, and so that's the old side of Sacramento.
Yeah, it's Sacramento's just got a lot of ancient history to it, and evidenced by the 67th Street case that we had. That's another ancient part of the city, and the stuff we got, you know, to get mining. Couple of miners talking about their claims. You know,
wow,
we got
that's
that.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just a whole cavalcade of history coming through, and I was really surprised by it. We had EVPs coming out of the bathroom, and a woman telling us to get the hell out. You know, all sorts of things. You know, so it's layered history all through there, and with the granite. And the kinds of rock that are around there, I think that may be part of it. We're partially getting residuals, but
yeah, that might be true.
But on the other hand, some of these, you know, this 67th Street case was intelligent all the way. You know, I mean, Renee, mm-hmm. you were getting impressions in the garage where that guy was, you know, writing all that crazy stuff because.
Yeah.
That was nuts there. I mean, wasn't it? I mean, remember all the stuff he wrote? And it was just like, what the?
Yeah, there was a lot of crazy. Yeah, it was really weird. The windows were boarded up inside the garage.
I went into another show a while back, and the gentleman was from Great Britain, and he brought up something that I didn't think about was, you know, over in Great Britain, they use a Ouija board to help them with their investigations. But mm-hmm. we here in the States fear them. you know, we feel that they're a portal and that they're going to open up a door. And, you know, so we fear Ouija boards when actually over in Great Britain, they use them kind of like the box, the EVP recordings. I mean, they're using them in their investigations to try to help them get information. So have you ever tried doing that maybe?
Well, you know, I've got a natural aversion to those, and maybe it is because I believe in some propaganda, you know. I'd have to look at, that's the part I've never been able to satisfactorily explain to myself is why do I feel that way about Ouija boards. And I think it is because of the old world superstitions that still carry forward. It's a powerful idea. You know, when you look at that, it's a powerful negative stereotype when you get something like that and it perpetuates itself. And yet, you know, you're right. We're doing the same thing with ovulus, with EVP, with different devices, divining rods. Mm-hmm. You're opening up that psychic potential in yourself whenever you go around the paranormal and you use instrumentation and tools. That's why, I wasn't that clairaudient before I started. And now I'm hearing stuff all the time, you know, and I'm going, did you hear that? And it's like, no, well, then we hear it on the tape, and it's like, it is what I heard. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do think you've got a point there. The thing is, no matter what the tool is you use, as long as it's getting results and as long as you're being safe with what you're doing, I think it's okay.
Right, and that's what, like I said, he brought up that comment that they use it as a tool, but we here in the States fear them. So I just wondered if that might be, you know, something you might think about using, you know, just as another form of a way for them to communicate, you know?
I think if it's okay, I had a thought on it. But I think that when we're doing investigations, it's kind of like if you're using the Ouija board, it's kind of like if you're using a pendulum, you know, and then trying to document that as evidence. Because it can be, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not actual evidence. It would be actually not looked at as solid evidence, whereas, like, if we got an EVP, because you can actually hear the voice, you know, because the board can be moved and anyone can be moving it. You know, it'll be questioned, I think,
right.
Is what my thought is.
I understand that, but the reason I brought this up is because, like, when you do get an EVP and it says go away, if you used a Ouija board in conjunction, you might be able to get, like, their name from them instead of just, you know, a comment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, you might be able to look up and see who this person was and what might have happened to them or, you know what I mean? That's the only reason why I was wondering.
You know, the thing that I find with EVP and Ouija boards are the functional equivalent of a typewriter, form of technology. When you, and then you step forward and the thing that has replaced it has been EVP and ovulus and things like that. These are just like, you know, the Ouija board is like a foundation technology. And, you know, it's the old reliable, no power. You don't need anything for it. You just put your finger on it and a couple people and it moves.
Yeah.
It does
that.
Well,
have you thought about getting, what's the name of it, the box? It's got a person's name.
Oh, Spirit Box?
No, Frank's Box.
Spirit Box. They got all kinds of things.
Okay.
Yeah, we use Frank's Box every week here on the show. I do ITC work where I bring spirits through. Who are fully on the other side, and we pass messages on from them to the living every week.
Well,
and
isn't
so
it the Frank's Box that has a vocabulary of whatever,
that's the ovulus I think you're talking about.
It is?
Yeah.
I thought it was the box.
Yeah. The ovulus, I have two models of the ovulus. We have the ovulus 1, which we've been using for some time. In July, I will be getting from my good friend Bill at Digital Dowsing, Bill Chappell. It's the brand new form of the ovulus, and it has 10 times the number of words built into it. And it's also programmable, meaning I can alter the voice, I can add more words, I can do all sorts of things. So it's a much more flexible tool. So we're going to be using that on air quite a bit. And
oh, cool.
We'll also be taking it into the field because it's not only useful for ITC work, but it's useful for field research. So
right.
We'll be definitely making use of that. I've been really spending the money on outfitting the team because, you know, not everybody has disposable income like me, and I'm able to, outfit with these things. And then we can share it as a resource.
Right.
So we're definitely
trying. I wish I lived closer because I think it would be so cool. Now, I've tried to find people in my area, like Solana. You know who she is, John.
Yeah.
She's here in Texas, and she's actually down towards Galveston, I believe. And I was trying to get with her to see, you know, who in our area, but it's so hard to find people, you know, that you can get with to go on these investigations, and you know, they kind of have a closed little group, you know what I mean?
You know, I'll tell you something I've learned in this business. It's taken me, I have made a lot of mistakes, and I continue to make them, and I feel great to have the team that I have because they're very forgiving of their leader, you know, playing around, trying to figure this stuff out as he goes. And but I'm now getting that feel for it, and it's getting easier to do the job. And being able to lead, and then not only that, but forgive other people's mistakes and things when they happen because it's part of the learning experience. When you can get that kind of a quality group together, it's something that takes time to build. And when you do get that to work, it's an amazing thing. And that's what's happening with us. You know, I've got, you know, really some good quality people are coming together now with different skill sets. And, you know, they're going to rotate through. Some are going to have to go on hold because of life circumstances and that. And we're going to bring new faces through, and then the old ones will come back in and all that. But I think we got the fire. You know, I've been blowing on this fire for a long time to get it to catch.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's actually sparking up pretty good, and I can see, you know, we're going to go some places. So
you have the income to do that. I don't have the spare income, or I'd just start one myself, you know. If I could
actually
go out and buy stuff, I would just start a group myself.
Do you know what you need to do this? You don't need all the money that I've got. You know, I have some nice toys.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
no.
I have nice toys,
well,
but the one thing you need is dedication and then time, and you need at least one digital recorder and maybe a digital camera. And then pencil and paper. If you can do all that, you have the beginnings of a valid paranormal research group. You don't have to have anything more. Most of the time when I go out in the field, I have my sneakers on, some old clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I've got those items in my hand, and the other exotic stuff is real nice, but what I really am using is, you know, that and maybe a K2, you know, So if I have those things in my kit and they're plugged onto my side and I'm ready to go. That's what you need. You just need that and to go out there and make a lot of mistakes and learn as you go, and talk with other paranormal teams. You know, you'll find some of them are real cliquish and they're real closed and going to talk to you. There are others that are going to be open to you, and they'll tell you things and they'll show you things, and you can learn from them. And they're teaching groups. That's where I hope to take GRI. You know, really when it comes down to it, we want to be a teaching paranormal team. We want to learn, you know, since, and then not only that, transmit that knowledge and help start up other groups so that they can do it the right way. And so, you know, but in your case, you know, it's not, don't think the money is the requirement. It's the time and the diligence, and the spirits will come to you if you've got a good heart. And
right.
If you're
the time. That's not the problem. I have the time.
Kara, have you tried Meetup? Have you tried, do you know what Meetup is?
Have I tried what?
Do you know what the Meetup group is all about? Have you ever been to that website yet?
No.
Okay, I would say what you could do is, it's really, really popular, and it's just gotten even more popular the last year, but it's called meetup.com, and it has nothing to do with singles. It's just
M-E-E-T-U-P?
Group. Yes, just like that. Meetup.com. And so you go there, and you can it's a free membership. You know, you can go on there and be a free, you know, free to sign up and join groups. You can find all kinds of groups in your area, or even start one yourself. I think it costs, if you wanted to start one yourself, I think it costs like, they just lowered the price, and it might be like $10 or $12, maybe even lower by now, a month.
Okay.
And that's it. And they do all the work for you. They send out all the emails. You set up the group. You get, and trust me, there's a lot of people probably in your area that are interested, because it's just the paranormal phenomenon's just taken off.
Right.
And bounds, and there's people all over. I definitely recommend going there, and I'm sure you'll find a group in your area, because it's all over the United States. As a matter of fact, it's international now.
Okay.
So there's groups all over the world. But
yeah,
that's how I got my start.
I found a website that had a bunch of Texas, like East Texas, but it had Texas, all over Texas. And like not far from where I used to live, there's a bridge, and if you turn out your lights when you go around the bridge, there's supposed to be a woman that follows your vehicle. And so I called my girlfriend, and I was like, go do that. She's like, not me. And I was like, God, I got to come back over there. And then there's like a Walgreens not far from me that the night manager was killed, and they said that he knocked stuff off the shelves. And, you know, I mean, I found a website that talks about locations that have, you know, it's recorded proof of things to go to check things out, you know? So
you know, you're doing exactly, they're all the right things. You know, when I first started off, you know, with GRI back in, you know, the first inkling of it came to me in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2007, late 2007, I really realized it was time for me to go on my own. I joined a group locally, and then it just didn't resonate with me. I learned a few lessons from them. I learned enough that I needed to know to kind of go my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did is I started putting together a database of cases locally,
mm-hmm.
and sites that I thought would be interesting. And I put together my notes, and I just started using that to work off of. And I would go out and do impromptu outdoor investigations, and that's how we got into outdoor work. And it just really started snowballing, and then people started hearing about us, and you know, we started having stuff happen. And then I, you know, learned you know, how to manage a team, you know, and all those things that go along with that, and how to be a good leader. And you know, I've had, you know, leadership training in my work, so it wasn't too different. But the paranormal has its own idiosyncrasies you have to get used to, and how and the kinds of people you bring in, you have to use different techniques of leadership to work with that. And so, you're going to learn all that, you know,
mm-hmm.
but don't let it stop you. You know, take a case that's interesting to you, grab a couple of friends and go off. And as long as it's safe, that's the only rule I have for the team I'm in. As long as we're practicing good safety procedures, we're ahead of the game.
Right.
You know, because I have no hesitation about pulling the team out and saying, no, we're not doing that. You know, we'll go to plan B,
mm-hmm.
you know, and do something else. If I think it's the potential for them getting hurt, or some, you know, there's something that's not right about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the only requirement, you know, just have good judgment skills, use common sense, don't
mm-hmm.
go into places that you're not invited to go to.
Right.
And start off with simple stuff. Go out to an old historic site, and you don't have to be in the day, you know, you don't have to be in the nighttime. You can do investigation during the day.
Right.
I get just as great at EVPs from daytime investigations as I do night. And I prefer daytime investigation. When it gets down, yeah, it's a lot safer.
Yeah, but they always, like when you see them on the shows, they always talk about the downtime, you know, the dead time or whatever, and it's always better to do it at 3 a.m. and oh, and you're like, what about the daytime? Aren't they around then?
Yeah, you know, we have Marshall Gold Discovery Park out here 9 miles from me right now, and we love that place because we can go out in the daytime, and I get spirits every time I go there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and they know who I am. I mean, they know my name. I mean, they call me by name
right.
when I go out there now. But they know I'm there trying to be good to them, because we try to help them cross over. We give them advice. We listen to them. And, you know, I remember things from case to case and go back and talk to them about that. And they know I'm not there to make fun of them or anything. So,
right.
you know, that's a relationship. You'll find that developing, too, as you get to know your cases there in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You will find that there will be certain cases that stand out and will kind of tug at your heartstrings.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that suddenly you're having EVPs that are actually forming a relationship. And
wow.
You're getting to know these people. And they become friends. And
mm-hmm.
It'll really surprise you.
Right.
You know, so my advice, go for it. Slap a name
right.
on yourself. Grab your stuff, get your boots on, you know, get your butt out there and go hunting ghosts.
Okay.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we will, because we talked about it. As a matter of fact, the boyfriend just the other day said, "Hey, when are we going to do this?" And I was like, "What?" And he was like, we talk about it, when are we going to go do it? You know, so we just haven't done it.
Just put it, you know what? I would just put it on the calendar and then do it. Because you'll just keep talking. And it's like, I find that you just put it on the calendar and say, this is the day we're going. So, you know, be there or be square. You know,
right?
I mean, just make it happen.
Yeah, it'll probably just start with he and I at first, just to see what we can do. And, you know, we have a recorder. We have a digital camera. I do want to get the EMF detector and, you know, just the basic stuff, and then go he and I just go out and see what we can come up with, you know?
You know, the other equipment will come over time, believe it or not, because you can actually get used equipment or even build your own,
mm-hmm.
and you'll find yourself getting more and more equipment over time. You know, the big thing is learn the basics before you got to learn to crawl before you walk, you know?
Right.
And, you know, these are the necessary steps for you. So when you get to know the equipment and you go through all the vagaries of, you know, okay, I got evidence. Now what do I do with it? Well, yeah, you got to translate it to a computer. Okay, what do I do now? Well, I got to make a library, you know, and keep track of my cases. Oop, I need to keep files. Oh, okay, now what? Now I have to, you know, come up with a coherent analysis method of how to do this, and then how do you present to the client if you have clients. You can choose to do investigation where just because you're interested, you don't have to have a client. Nobody
right.
says you have to do it that way.
No,
you
we
just
do it for
you
fun.
Enjoy it.
Sure.
Sure, then just go out there and see what you capture and keep some minimal records,
mm-hmm.
and don't make it too much work and just go have fun with it. But,
right.
you know, it's
yeah.
like this grand tour we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sat down tonight. I've been talking about this grand case forever, you know, and I finally got off my butt today and I said, that's it. I'm going to pick the locations. You know, if somebody can throw rocks at me later about which case, you know, what order we're going to do, which stop we're going to do on this trip, and it's going to be a couple of thousand miles worth of driving.
Wow.
But it's all put into place, and we are going to be going. And
y'all
know,
mainly do California, Nevada?
We're going to do California right now is on my S list because despite the fact I live here,
mm-hmm.
The way the park systems are kind of, it's pretty messed up out here right now, except for Bodie. I mean, I'll do the Bodie cases and some of the local stuff on the list we've got. But for the Grand Tour,
mm-hmm.
I'm giving Nevada and Arizona my support, you know. Their park systems and their governments are being a little more responsible with the way they're spending their money than my state.
Mm.
So that's kind of
your state part doesn't of the have reason. Any money.
What's that?
Your state doesn't have any money, remember?
No, that's right. And so they're closing stuff down, and it's ridiculous. And so I'm just kind of going, well, okay, fine, I'll leave and go do something else. But and it's not the primary reason, but it is a little bit of a in the back of my mind. It's like I kind of thought about that. I was like laughing. But I mean, we're mostly going to do Nevada and Arizona because number one, those two states have by and large probably even more paranormal activity than California.
Hmm.
And we've got a lot here. You know, we're
yeah.
you know, I live in Spook Central here for the Sierras. I mean, this is it where I'm at.
Yeah, Placerville actually used to be where the first Jack in the Box was coming from Reno to Sacramento, and
yeah.
that was like a big thing for us to stop at Jack in the Box on the way down to go see my grandparents in Sacramento.
Yeah.
So been there, done that, you know, been all around there, and you make me homesick. You talk about Truckee. I actually found a cat in the Truckee River in Reno, so I named him Truckee. I had him for 20 years. So you talk about Truckee, you talk about Virginia City, you talk about Reno, And I'm just like, who would it be there? So
I'll tell you what, on the second, just the bones of a plan for the second Grand Tour when we do that in 2011. I was born in El Paso, Texas, and, dad worked in the military. And I've always wanted to swing out maybe a little farther east and go through New Mexico and into part of Texas. So who knows? I might get out your way a little bit.
Oh, cool.
You know, we may be able to do that in 2011. But,
I
can try to do something different, a little something different every year. But we want to hit this year, I just want to hit all the ones that are, within good striking range for us and just really tick off some of the big, big names of places to hit. A little UFO stuff here, a little bit of, a lot of ghost stuff there, some amazing sights and, rubbernecking with the cameras, the extraterrestrial highway, that's on the bucket list. I might as well stand in front of Area 51 and say, yep.
My mom worked at the Nevada test site.
I don't want to see the camo dudes. I just want to just drive by it.
Mom worked at the test site the summer of 77, 78.
Yeah.
And one day it was her day off, so she decided, well, I'm just going to drive around out here. My mom was a geologist, so she was constantly out looking for rocks and fossils and everything. And sure enough, she was out on a desolate road out there by the test site, and cops showed up out of nowhere, and you can't be here. This is private property. And she was escorted away, even though she worked at the test site, but she wasn't, like, where she would go for work.
Yeah.
And I still have to make it out to Tonopah because I have to scatter her ashes out near Tonopah, out near Ike's Canyon. I don't know if you know where that is.
Well, it's funny that you'd say that because we're going to be stopping in Goldfield and we're going to be staying in Tonopah nearby there to just because there's a Best Western there. So I was just looking at that today.
Well,
yeah.
Ike's Canyon is just north of, it's just barely out of the Area 51 area, and my mom did her thesis there, and so that's why it's in her last request to have her ashes scattered there, so I still have to try to make a trip out there to do that. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you do get the hankering to do something out there and you let us know and we can find a way to swing it, who knows, we may meet up.
Yeah, that would be great. I got to get out there someday. She passed away in 08, so I've been dragging my feet now for 2 years. But, if you just don't have the money to go do that. We actually tried to do a family trip out there because not only do we like ghost hunting, but we want to go opal hunting and topaz hunting, and we want to go to California and go gold panning. I still have my mom's gold pan. And so we were going to make like a month, month and a half trip from Texas up through Nevada, up to Washington State, see my dad, back through Oregon, down to California. I still got relatives in Sacramento. So we were just going to be gone however long. Our checks come direct deposit. We don't have to be here. So we were just going to take a month, month and a half, and be gone.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's just stay in touch. I think you've got my email, right?
No,
I think I got it from you. Just email me at the blog talk email. Just hit my contact, and I'll get it so we're in touch, and we'll put you on our mailing list.
Okay.
And you
great.
Can see what we're up to, and then and then I'll stay in touch with you too.
Okay.
Because Nevada is a big one for us. We're going to be doing more work there, definitely, because it's a much easier thing for us. So we can get to just to go over the hill on 50 or 80 and be
well,
all over.
Well, not
that.
Only that, there's so many small towns that you should be, I remember when she was in college, we'd just pull off of the side of the road and sleep because you're out in Nowhereville. And, I would think places like even Winnemucca would be cool because of all the, stuff that went on there. And, it's a vast, numerous places there.
Yeah.
And small towns to where you're not having to battle the people.
Yeah, it's That's part of the allure for me. I've traveled all throughout to New Mexico. Worked up through Utah. Mm. There's some stuff I'd like to hit there. It's just we are going to hit a lot, and you'll see a lot coming on. And who knows? You may be able to join us on the second tour. So,
hey, my kids are getting old enough. I can just say, hey, y'all stay at your dad's. I'm going bye bye.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to go ahead and wrap because I know we're going to lose our feed here any second now.
Right.
So, and I got to go up and check parents out. But anyway, thank you for coming on.
Sure, no problem. Just wanted to fill you in on some Virginia City stuff.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
Have a good evening, Karen.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, Renee, I think we had ourselves a good show tonight.
Raj.
Yeah, Raj. Raj. The pattern is full.
The pattern is definitely full.
Spencer
good show,
said,
yeah.
What was that?
I said good show. What did you say, Spencer?
Spencer sent an email saying, what time do I call in? And it's like 10 o'clock.
No.
Like,
man.
So I just sent him a note back while we were talking. I was going, Spencer, it was 8 o'clock. Don't worry about it. We'll get you on another time. At this kind of helped settle some thinking, too, I think, the way we did this tonight. Because it's kind of like doing team business, but having fun on air, with talking and comparing notes and evidence and all that. You did good on that, those captures. I'm your EVP analysis skills are right up there, my friend. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I was really excited to catch them. It's fun. It is exciting. I haven't been doing it that long, but it's still pretty exciting, when you catch some good ones, especially the Class A's, because then everyone's like, it's obvious. So it's kind of cool.
Well, I think there's going to be more buried in there, especially that overnight one you had. So let's... think about when we're going to get together again, you and me, and we'll talk offline. But and start trading some of the evidence, and we'll collate this together to get that prepared for Spence. And you were able to get in a pair of DB and do the case open once I gave you admin rights, right?
I haven't gone on since we've been on the air, so I got to go take a break because my bum's going to sleep. So I'll check it out either tonight, a little later on, or tomorrow morning.
Okay, give it a whirl. Yeah, and make sure when you do that, you fill out the case, save it. I think that might have been what happened. So
I did save it. That's the thing. I know I went down there and I clicked the save button. That's what was so perplexing. Is like, well, I know I saved it, so where'd it go?
I'll tell you what.
But I'm gonna.
Yeah, let's just you and me. It'll probably be you and me doing the all the entry into it. I'll just, I made you an admin, so we'll just take it from there and see if that does the trick.
Okay, cool.
Okay, all right. Kiddo. All right. Well, hey.
Well.
Big.
Good show, and you have a good sleep.
Okay, you too, sweetheart.
All right.
Big
take care of yourself. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, you too. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. Thanks, everybody, for listening on Archive. We'll see you here later in the week. Bye now.